United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Yeah. than what I can sell the house for.
Hey, guys, you know what? I've had this. Keith, I'm sorry, those of you who are listening online, Tracy and friends, I'm so sorry. I just hit the button.
Hey, guys, you know what? I've had this. Keith, I'm sorry.
Now we're back. That's you.
Echo.
Why is that?
I don't know. What'd you do this time?
That's you.
I guess it is.
See this?
I turned this off.
No, don't turn that off. Turn it off on there.
See this?
Hey,
I'm going to get fired pretty
quick. Hey, Diva, how are you, honey? 614, your mic is on.
Hello?
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 Yeah?
How are you?
I'm good. Just laying here with my foot up in the boot.
I'm still getting the feedback.
I don't hear it this time.
How about now?
Nope.
We're hearing it.
We're hearing it.
What is that? Hey, listen, I'm going to take a break and I'll be right back. And let's see if I can figure this out. How about now? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Diva, that's your cheap phone.
No, that's not my phone.
That is your cheap phone.
How is it
but
my
phone?
But
if you got on a cheap Bluetooth, have your phone on speaker.
Yeah, I'm on a landline.
Okay.
Diva, what the heck's going on with them Pittsburgh Steelers?
I have not been
keeping up with
first,
Mike Wallace is gone.
They signed a $70 million contract with somebody. Who was that?
I don't know. I didn't see that yet. I have to go to my sports page and take a look at that. But, you know, first Mike Wallace is gone, and, you know, now they're – I don't know if they lost Emmanuel Sanders yet or they got to keep him. But if they got to keep him, they got him at a very expensive price because of what the New England Patriots did. So I'm a little bit worried. They got no money to sign anybody they draft.
No, wait a minute. Hold on. The Steelers had no choice but to keep Sanders.
Okay, so they gave him $2.5 million, which means that they're out of cap room, which means they're going to have to let go of who? Troy Polamalu now?
Well, if they call me, I'll come play.
Oh, Lord.
Seriously.
Oh.
I mean, not for nothing. We're in so much trouble. The Browns actually have a chance this year to beat us. And it won't be luck. Yeah, they get lucky every 10 years and beat us, but they may actually beat us talent wise this year.
Who?
The Browns.
You got jokes.
No, I'm serious. I'm not joking about that.
They even may have
Harrison playing for them.
But it's not uncommon for the Browns to sometimes beat the Steelers because every now and then we give them a bye, and let them win. You know,
we give them a pass.
Yeah, we let them do that.
Right. Yeah.
That's not, you know, that's normal.
But then, you know, talent-wise, they haven't.
Right. Like Ben said, it'll be because talent. We're losing all our talent.
Right. We are.
We're not losing our talent. We are reshaping our team.
But, you know, the one thing we have that Cleveland has never had was a quarterback.
We ain't going to have none.
We
know what?
No.
I don't know why you two are y'all up there talking about Pittsburgh and Cleveland. The Panthers are going to win the Super Bowl this year.
The Panthers are the Browns of the South.
Don't even try.
Come out of Never Never Land, South Carolina.
That's Miami.
Who are the Panthers?
Right, you forget there. You forget all about them.
Don't nobody know nothing about the Pink Panther. The Pink Panther doesn't have a team.
No, you didn't. Okay. All right, Pink Panthers. No, okay. I'm gonna tell my boy Cam about that.
Actually, on Breast Cancer Week, they are the Pink Panthers.
No, the Pink Panthers.
They do the breast cancer thing too. If I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Right? Don't they?
Yeah. Now Tracy was trying to be funny, but that's okay. We'll do our talking on the field.
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being very serious. I mean, even the Steelers wear pink on Breast Cancer Day, Sunday.
Tracy was implying something different, but that's okay.
What do you mean I was implying something? I don't know what you're talking about, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What are you talking about?
That's okay. No problem. Pink Panthers. Okay.
You know... South Carolina.
Okay.
What? In South Carolina, did you realize that we were finally pre-recorded on Friday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. You know, I got to do something with you guys. And the number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic today, and we will go anywhere you want to go today. We'll talk about anything today. We'll switch around. We'll make people confuse the heck out of our listeners because we will just jump wherever you want to jump to. But we do want to hear from you. In studio with me is Sticks. What are you typing, Sticks? You're getting bad as Jeff.
He's
on Facebook.
He's on
Facebook, pecking away.
He's on Facebook.
But I'm right here.
What, you know what? Which reminds me, I gotta, you know, do my little Facebook thing and tell everybody that we're
here.
We're live,
right.
And you
we're
can,
live
you
and
can
we're
listen
here.
Live and local.
That's not what you were doing. You were over there probably answering Jeff.
No. Yes, a Jeff, not our Jeff, but a Jeff.
Jeff King. Who else? Hey, listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And these are the new Panthers.
Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center, find the Green Witch Workshop catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 31 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, and I hope you're having a good, warm, sunny day, spring day. In South Carolina, this is the theme song for you, right?
Okay, be that way. Okay. We all know what a brownie is, though, don't we?
A who?
A brownie.
Yeah, a brownie's a Steeler, a Brown fan.
No. Brownie is a Girl Scout, a little Girl Scouts.
Yeah. Oh, those brownies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. They're not brownies up here.
They're brownies. Yes, they are.
What do we call them up here?
I don't know. When's the last time you saw a brownie?
I don't ever remember seeing it. They were always Girl Scouts.
I haven't seen a brownie since I was a brownie. I didn't even know they had brownies still.
Hmm.
I'm going to go talk to the Girl Scouts this afternoon.
Oh, what are you going to talk to them about?
What else do I know?
You're not going to talk politics to Girl Scouts, are you?
Yes, I am.
Process?
Talk to them about entrepreneurship, Tracy.
I don't know anything about that.
Yes, you do. You do know about being an entrepreneur. You're broke. You're taking a risk trying to establish a business.
Right.
I mean, you know. So you can talk to them about that. Yeah.
No. I'm going to talk to them about things that are really and really important. I'm going to talk to them about politics and the process and the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Absolutely.
Oh,
young people need to know. Pardon me?
You going to give a civics class?
Pretty much.
Okay, that's cool.
And I think they're from 8 to 12 or something on that. I'm going to talk to them about, you know, they want to earn their government badge. So I need to educate them on government. And let them know that they are the government.
Are you going to take them down to the Mahoney County Jail for that?
No.
Well,
but if they don't learn government, they will be in jail.
Isn't that where most of our Democratic politicians are?
No. And listen, I want to send out my condolences to the family of Charlie Wilson. Yes. Charlie Wilson passed over the weekend, passed yesterday afternoon. Charlie Wilson was a political opponent of most Republicans here in the Mahoning Valley. Those of us who are conservative did not agree with anything except that the sun was shining and what time it was. But that does not mean that we want to see a political foe leave.
That's right.
No.
And so we want to send out our love and our prayers to his family, because the loss of a loved one is the loss of a loved one. And no matter what political side you're on, I believe that he was of good service to those he represented and that he will be sadly missed. And I will miss sparring with him because he was a good guy. And, you know, something I found out, we've got to really understand that that's what politics is really all about. We spar and we fight. But at the end of the day, we ought to be able to come to a common consensus for the good of the people at large.
We need to quit taking it personal.
Yeah, because what's going on right now?
And we need to quit making it personal.
I'm looking at this gun stuff.
Yeah.
and the legislation that they're trying to put to get through the Senate, and it's not going to fly in the House.
Thank God.
And, you know, I don't think we're using common sense in it. But that's my personal point of view. I saw the mayor, they had a rally downtown over the weekend, and I saw, not the mayor, but the former, it was for the mayor against guns or something on that order.
Oh, Bloomberg's group.
No, downtown Youngstown.
Yeah, but it's still, Bloomberg's paying for that.
No, this has been happening before.
City mayors against, mayors against gun violence is, or mayors against illegal guns is bought and paid for by Michael Bloomberg.
Well, I think that this is not the way to go about it. I saw the former police chief, Jimmy Hughes, down there. And, you know, I understand that we need to have gun responsibility and gun ownership responsibility, and we need to be accountable for that which we have. But I do have a problem with some of the ways about what they're going, what ways they're getting there. I do. I mean, do you think that we ought to have background check?
No.
How about you, Ben?
You know, when they start backgrounding check for people who want to vote instead of letting people vote without a driver's license, then the answer is yes. Until then, no.
How about you, South Carolina?
Nah. I think there is one thing that I think they need to do. They need to figure out a way to keep those guns out of the hands of individuals that are have some mental issues.
But now, how do you do that without a background check? I mean,
but how you name?
You can do it with.
They've already said there's nothing in this bill that would have prevented Sandy Hook. Nothing.
That's true. But my question is, I'm going past Sandy Hook. I'm going past, and I have a problem with them using the Sandy Hook incident for this. Because that's just stupid. Because he used a handgun, and they're going after anything else but a handgun.
Well, Tracy, my question is, when are they going to go after the fella down there in Texas that just started slashing people?
Oh, wait, I already heard about
K bars now.
Yeah,
are they going to
be
banning K bars?
Al Sharpton has already said, if gun control doesn't go far enough and we need knife control, we're going to have knife control. He said that on one of his MSNBC shows.
Can I tell you something?
Knife control.
Listen, no one is listening to Al Sharpton.
No, I don't think he's had anybody listen to him for years.
His
Tracy,
view on knife control, yes.
You know that Al Sharpton speaks for Black America.
Okay, like I said, no one is listening to Al Sharpton. That's why they let him be the mouthpiece for Black America, because nobody's listening to them either. Because if they really care about...
They're
listening to Latino Americans.
They're listening to Bill Maher. You know what Bill Maher says? On his show?
He said he's going to become a Republican.
He said that the Second Amendment is nothing but a bunch of BS. I mean, he literally came out with it. The audience went wild and clapped their hands. And then some other guy on his panel said, we don't need a Second Amendment. We've got the First Amendment. We have the right to, you know, the right to assemble, and that's how the people should do what the people should do. They should assemble and make sure they that way they don't have to worry about, you know, guns. And I'm like, you live in a utopian society. Look what happened to Tiananmen Square.
But they're not listening to him either.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody listening to all these crazy people.
Well, but do you realize... See, it's a slippery slope, because under that New York law, they're considering Benadryl a psychotropic drug, and it says in the law, if you've ever taken a psychotropic drug, they can take your gun.
So guess what?
Nobody would have a gun.
I was talking to a young man this morning, and I was telling him that, you know, they want to put together some mentorship programs for young people. And I think that we ought to take them to the gun take them and do gun training for young people in the inner city. Because a lot of them know about firearms. A lot of them know about, you know, these types of weapons. And they have them around the house, whether they're legal or illegal. But I don't think we ever give them a good education on them. What do you guys think about that?
I think the hunter safety course should be mandatory for every eighth grader in the United States of America.
For all Americans.
Bull crap, because you ain't putting no gun in my child's hands.
You don't have to put a gun in your child's hands, Diva. When we did the hunter safety course at my school when I was a freshman in high school, we didn't actually do any live fire. But we handled toy guns, and we're taught the proper way to handle them.
I don't even like
her
playing with
a single bit of live fire.
One at a time.
Diva, do you know what the Eddie Eagle program is from the NRA?
No, and I don't care. Sorry.
You should.
Because I don't care for
guns. Eddie Eagle is a program, is a gun safety program for the NRA for preschoolers and first and second, third graders. And you know what the first rule is? The first rule they teach these children, if you find a gun, don't touch it. Go find an adult. Now, wouldn't you like your child to be taught that?
My daughter already knows that. I taught my daughter that myself.
Diva, but my question is, outside of you and your home, and I don't have any children, so I'm just speaking, you know, off the cuff, but don't you think, and I'm talking about young men, I wasn't even talking about young ladies, but young men who don't have fathers around to teach them safety of guns and stay away from them, do you realize that how many African-American young people, young men in the inner city have access to weapons and use them by the age of 13?
Tracy, I grew up in the inner city. I grew up with a lot of young men who had no fathers. But the point that I was making was towards Sticks when he said every eighth grader. I'm like, my daughter's getting ready to go into eighth grade. Me and her father just had this conversation because when she went to Tennessee, he tried to give her target practice. And I'm like, no, I don't want my daughter handling guns. I never had to handle a gun, and I hope I never have to, and I'm fine with that. And I'm pretty sure she'll be fine. When she becomes an adult and she decides that she wants to handle a gun, then she can make that decision. Right now, I don't want that for my child.
And I can understand that, and I'm not going to try to change your mind, but I would like to ask you this question. Why are you afraid of her knowing the safe way to handle a firearm taught by a responsible adult?
It's not about her knowing a safe way. I just don't want her around or near guns, period.
But she's
because
going to be around them.
I have plenty of cousins, too. I have a cousin now because she was taught about guns when she was younger. She has a fascination with them. I mean, she's not going to go out and shoot anybody, but she's like, oh, my gosh, you get one in your hand. It's so powerful when you shoot. I have a couple of cousins like that. I don't want my daughter to have that feeling, to get that excitement. No, just be blah about them.
But let me say that. Let me ask you this, because see, I understand where you're coming from, and I want to get South Carolina and Ben's response to this. But in my society, in my world, I'm not a gun user. I'm not fascinated by them. You know, they're okay, they're cool. I can touch them, and I know what to do with them. And I'm not really enthralled in them. I'm one that I don't even think I ought to carry one because I like to shoot people. But I don't think that's a good thing. And so, but my question is, you know, in today's world, I don't think any child is going to make it through too much of anywhere and not be around a gun somewhere before they get out of high school. It's like smoking weed. You know, it's like, you know, when I grew up, you know, fellatio was never a part of a conversation that I had with my girlfriend. Now, you know, kids in kindergarten know what that means. And I gave the politically correct term for that. But we don't, it's a whole new season. It's a whole new day. And these kids, they're exposed to so much more. And if they don't know what they're exposed to and the damage that can be done, don't you think we are hindering their abilities?
Well, if you're going to ask me, the answer is yes. I mean, just because you don't want your child exposed to something doesn't mean it's not going to be exposed to something somewhere else in society. So the best thing to do is to educate them, whether that be from you or somebody else. Yes, your kids should be educated how to use a proper or how to act when you find a weapon or a gun or whatever it may be that could cause damage or harm to somebody.
And they need to know the power that it has and the life. I mean, we try to shelter our kids until something happens. And I'm beginning to we need to be more proactive so that maybe that our young people won't pick it up and they won't understand that, you know, shooting a gun is not like playing a video game. They don't come back in the second act.
Hey, Diva, do you have a problem with the school teaching your children sex ed?
Yes, but my school doesn't teach sex ed. They teach abstinence, so I don't have a problem with that.
No. I mean anything to do with sexual education.
Yes, I do have a problem with the school is teaching my child sexual education. That should come from me. You teach my child math, reading, writing, arithmetic, and all that, and let the personal stuff, let me handle that.
Well, my problem that I have is, and I agree, and I need to teach my children, I need to have a relationship with my children that I really don't care what you teach my child, because whatever you teach my child, when she comes home, she's going to come and have a conversation with me and ask me, well, what do you think about this, because I learned this in school today. And I want to have that kind of open relationship with my child. But my question is, we've got young people today, and their parents aren't teaching them anything.
And I guess the question is, when your child sees a gun laying around, do you want them to not touch that gun out of respect or not? Don't touch that gun out of fear? I wanted my children not to touch that gun out of respect. I've got a preacher friend of mine who has twin granddaughters, and at 4 years old, they'd look you straight in the eye and say, well, you don't touch shoot guns. But yet this same preacher went out and bought each girl a .410 shotgun and a .22 rifle on the day they were born to put up for them for the day when they turned 6 years old.
Well, see, Sticks, that's because y'all crazy. Hold on. South Carolina, your mic is on. 267, I think that's you. Yeah, 267, your mic is on also.
Yeah.
Well, most country girls down here, you know, they know how to shoot. I mean, there's not too many of them down here that don't. As a matter of fact, you're the odd man out if you don't know how to shoot.
Because, well, I mean, when I...
I'm in out. I just feel strongly, first off, I... do feel strongly that normal citizens shouldn't be allowed to carry certain weapons and just have them just for recreation purposes. If we didn't have guns, we wouldn't have the problems that we're having now in the inner cities. And I grew up in the project. So my mother never wanted us around guns. We were never around guns. I never saw an actual gun or saw somebody holding a gun unless it was on TV until I turned, I think it was 18, 19. So, I mean, this premise that, well, if you don't teach them or if you don't allow them to be trained or educated, it'll happen somewhere else. Not at 12, she's not. She's not going to be subjected to such things, especially in the area that I live in, at 12.
Wait a minute, hold on,
where
are you living?
Everybody lives in the area you live in then? There's nobody that lives in an area where your 8-year-old walking home from school might find a gun or maybe a needle that was used to inject heroin? Or opium. I mean, don't you think that our children should be educated into these things?
Where are you living?
Other people's children, if somebody wants to educate their child in such things, that's fine. But to make it mandatory for everybody's child in the public school system,
No. I'm not talking about school. We're talking about a program that is a program that is for young athletes and young men. And they would have an NRA instructor come in and actually just have a conversation with them. And talk to them about safety. Talk to them about, you know, the destruction that guns cause. And that when they see it, don't touch it.
Diva, are you aware that up until just a few short years ago, most high schools, well, not a few, probably 20 years ago, most high schools had a high school rifle team?
Not the high school I went to.
That's because you went to an inner city high school. They never gave us that opportunity. If you went to an all-black school, they didn't never give y'all a gun. That's what's wrong.
And African Americans should be the strongest pro-gun advocates in the United States because the entire root of gun control is to keep firearms out of the hands of African Americans. The first gun control law written in North America, even before this country was a country when we were still colonies, was written to keep firearms out of the hands of African Americans, black people.
Just because it was written to do something doesn't mean you automatically should have it. I'm going to go out and get it just because they don't want me to have it.
Do we really understand that we trust the government too much?
I don't trust anyone. Do I find some things more trustworthy? Do I find certain entities trustworthy? Yes.
I got to go back to another call, but do you realize that we trust the government too much?
I said
the government. We are giving the government too much. We are giving the government too much of our trust, because the same government that we trust is the same government that allowed people to enslave us.
Randy Weaver.
Hold on, Philadelphia. Go ahead. I heard you chime in.
Yeah, I'm in an urban area where people are allowed to carry open carry guns, handguns in Pennsylvania. Now, when you go into a city, like if you go into a New York City, that you're not allowed to carry open carry handguns in a place like New York City. But the problem with allowing large amounts of the population in an urban area to carry guns is you have a lot of social and educational and economic problems in which you have a certain population that will seek out to get high-powered weapons. They had a recent incident here where someone took an AK-47 and sprayed bullets at a Chinese restaurant over the weekend. So the problem is you have a lot of people who are in the drug trade or they're in some type of like activity involving crime, in which it's a problem for the local population if they're allowed to have guns that have like a capacity where the person can shoot large amounts of rounds in a very short period of time. That's a problem if you're in an urban location.
Philadelphia, you're under the false premise that criminals are going to obey laws.
No, I'm not under the false premise that in an urban area, as I just mentioned, where you have very strict laws to try to prevent a person from using handguns, the crime rate involving guns does go down, and that's what happened.
Hold on,
in the city of New York.
In fact, that's not fair.
The gun-related crimes
your
have dramatically gone down
fact,
under
on,
Bloomberg because
yeah.
he was able
but,
to enact those laws in which
no,
a person
on,
would
no,
get a maximum
on,
sentence
fact,
hold on,
if they committed a crime with a handgun.
Check your facts.
Okay, go ahead, Ben. Go ahead, because I think you're
right. Yeah. Philadelphia, you're 100% incorrect. In fact, you can actually look at the statistics in the city of Chicago, where crime is actually decreased and violent crime and violent crime with guns has decreased because they are now allowed to carry guns inside
their homes
in Chicago. Okay. Also, I want you to you talked about New York and the fact that Bloomberg. Well. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're more likely to get mugged in City Park in New York than you are in Philadelphia, correct?
Right.
Okay, why? Because you can't have a gun.
In Australia, that's not true.
People are very hesitant. People in New York are very hesitant to use handguns.
Philadelphia.
I'm speaking from personal experience.
No, I don't care what. Shut up or I'm going to turn you off. I'm trying to get people to speak one at a time. I let you talk, let them answer you, and then you can come back and talk again. We will not talk on top of each other today.
I'm not
Hold
trying
up.
To talk on top of anyone, ma'am.
Then let him
I'm just
answer
telling you.
You
what I know.
I don't care what you know. We're trying to tell you what we hear. So let me find out what Stick
well,
will say,
but,
and then we'll come
right.
back to you. In the nation of Australia, they banned large numbers of guns, and they made the ones that you had, they passed very strong storage requirements. They had to write new law. Because they had a new phenomenon called home invasion that started, and they attack old people, and they attack the weakest among them because they know that they cannot defend themselves.
Yeah, and Philadelphia, please, just remember this. You're trying to tell us what we know. We're trying to tell you what you don't know. Okay? I mean, if you check your facts, you'll learn a little bit.
And let me say this. You have to understand, I will guarantee you the guns
and
that are
I'm
being
telling
used
you, you can't
are
have
not...
High, you can't have high-capacity weapons... In urban areas,
they're not legal. You're missing
in,
the point.
In urban locations, now I'm not saying you can't have people who are not allowed to own handguns. That may
they are not. They are
we're
not
talking about handguns. You're talking about high capacity clips, and we're trying to tell you that criminals are not going to obey those laws.
I can guarantee you that guy that took an AK-47 and shot up that restaurant you were talking about. Nothing about that was legal. That gun he owned illegally,
no, but
and the ammunition he obtained illegally, and everything about that was illegal. As someone who owns assault rifles, I can tell you that people who own these weapons legally don't go shoot up
Chinese
restaurants.
Unless they're burning cat and there's a cat lover.
People
who legally
reason why
buy
those
them.
Types of individuals engage
you,
in that type
let
of activity
me call you
or
in.
Over... Hello?
Let me call. Listen, there are seven people here. Let me call you in. Are you with me? I'm not trying to be
I'm
rude.
Yeah, I'm with you, ma'am.
But then let me call you. And there are more than
people. You also have people who are shouting over me as well.
No, they're not. So let me call you in. Go ahead, Diva.
I would just like to say that, but you have people who buy guns illegally and then they'll turn around and sell. You'll have them buy them legally, they'll turn around and sell them illegally on the black market. Then you have someone who is.
But that's
going to
happen either way, Diva. That's going to happen no matter what.
Let me finish, because you just jumped all over Philadelphia for not talking over somebody.
Then hurry, make your point.
You have someone who buys them legally, who for whatever reason, because the Newtown shooting, come on now, his mom, he killed his mom and those kids and the teachers with her own guns that she got legally. Now either
he obtained illegally by taking them. Remember that.
It doesn't matter. The guns themselves were legal. They weren't gotten by ill-gotten means other than him just getting access to them from his mother.
Okay, did he obtain them legally or illegally?
There is nothing illegal that says you can't hold a gun, that even if it's not registered to you. You're not allowed to purchase one. You have to purchase a registered gun. But how many people hold guns and shoot a gun that is registered to someone else, especially during target practice?
Well,
is that illegal?
For one thing, in the state of Ohio, we don't have gun registration. There is no gun registration in the state of Ohio. That's one of the problems
Ohio,
we have
Ohio.
With this law.
Hold on, Diva. Wait a minute, Diva. Hold up. Now it depends on the gun. There are some. No, wait a minute. You cannot hold any. Not every gun. You can't.
No.
In fact,
if you, a class 3 firearm, which
thank
is
you.
Fully
thank
automatic,
you.
A machine
okay.
gun,
thank
you
that's
do have to have registered,
right.
And you have to have an FFL.
Right.
A firearms license.
Thank
to,
you very much.
To carry that, and then
okay.
Those are all registered.
Okay, with the exception of okay,
there isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to. Understand.
With the exception of antiques now.
Right.
That's something different. But
yeah.
I will say
right.
this because most guns you don't have to register, but there are hot because when you say assault rifles, and fully automatic, you have to understand most of us think that assault rifles are fully automatic. And they're talking about the ones that you pull the trigger once and they just spray like machine guns.
Right.
And that's
assault,
not what we're talking about.
Right. Assault weapons are not fully automatic.
That. Thank you very much. They're semi-automatic.
What they are calling an assault weapon.
Right.
Which is not an assault weapon. It's a bunch of cosmetics
right.
placed on a standard semi-automatic
right.
hunting
right.
rifle.
Right.
And most people do not understand
that. There is no such thing as an assault weapon. I mean, any weapon is an assault weapon. They're not made to,
grow daisies.
Yeah. They're all assault weapons. Your BB gun's an assault weapon. I'm sorry.
But you.
Oh,
didn't,
I was so.
But that would
exactly.
need to be cleared up because a lot of people don't know.
If someone could cause massive damage with just a little handgun, then they wouldn't feel the need to have those high powered rifles.
Well,
but
you
could cause
Diva,
massive
Diva,
and they're
Diva,
easier
Diva,
to.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, Diva, and you have to realize most murders in America are carried out by the smallest of rounds, the .22 caliber round.
Diva, the other day
they're
I
not,
saw...
They're not carried out with high
yeah,
power
but mass murder,
rifles.
Mass murderers
Diva,
are
mass
not...
Mass murderers, yes,
like
most of them. The son of Sam used a .22 caliber.
And
okay.
If you look at the young man in Sandy Hook, that was done with a was done with 40 a handgun.
.40 caliber.
That assault rifle that they keep on talking about was still in the trunk of the car when they found it.
And Diva,
okay,
the
well,
other day
has,
I saw
an assault
an exhibition
rifle,
shoot.
It was not a handgun.
Diva, one of the
Diva,
time.
Diva, the other day I saw an exhibition shooter. Unholster, fire 8 rounds from a revolver, load 8 rounds, fire 8 rounds, load 8 rounds, fire 8 rounds, reholster the pistol in 4.2 seconds.
Which is faster than your
that's
semi-automatic
a person
or automatic
regularly
weapon.
Is that.
I know a lot of people that shoot like that.
Who's trying to
people
climb
many regularly, many shoot like
South
that.
South Carolina, go ahead, I heard you.
Hey, Diva, you know, the fact of the matter is, the gun that shot those kids was a handgun. The rifle that they're talking about, that was found in the boy's trunk. It never left the car, period. That was reported by CBS, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, and Fox.
No, that was not.
Yes,
no,
it
that
was.
Wasn't. No, it was not.
No, yes, it was. That's common knowledge, Diva.
No, it was not. At first, they were. There was so
Diva,
much confusion.
I mean, why? Not for you, but for everybody else. We know it was that he only used a handgun because that was what was reported. Why don't you know that? Why
because
are you? Why are you not?
Also, watch
the
what
facts
was
on
online.
Hey, guys, 269. Your mic is on.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I guess the one thing that I hear is particularly for Diva, and I think the other guys, Philadelphia. Yeah, see the one thing when you see blacks get sucked into these conversations, you know, first of all, Tracy nor Styx or any of them would even be talking about this gun control, save this particular tragedy with these little white kids. Now
you're right. Don't get me wrong, Michigan. You're right, because when we was killing little black kids across the country,
nobody
cared.
Was saying a word.
Yeah,
nobody
cared
kids,
about
yeah.
gun control.
Nobody cared last year when they killed all them kids in Chicago. You're right.
Yeah. Okay. So for the blacks on the line, to me, you know, this is a false argument about clips and assault rifle. You know, what we should be more concerned about is what the state of the black community and what is causing the black-on-black crime. And clearly,
this is Michigan?
Not,
yeah. Who else?
Michigan,
clearly,
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
But, that,
yeah.
You're
right.
But I think you missed the first part of my question, Michigan, when I asked it. We were talking about doing an athletic program and making it a complete wraparound and having these young men being trained in firearms, understanding the devastation. Because if you talk to a young kid, and I got to take a break, I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, see that? The only thing
yeah,
you're
well, the point I'm trying to make is that in the police departments in urban-type communities, they want to see some not if crimes are committed with these high-capacity guns, that a person gets the maximum sentence for the gun law that they broke. And currently the prosecutors don't prosecute in all areas. They don't add the gun charge onto the sentence, whereas in certain cities they're starting to do that. And they're starting to see a reduction in any type of gun-related crimes because the people who are engaged in any kind of criminal activity, they know that the gun charge will also be a charge to follow at the time they go to trial. So if they do it that way, then that does serve as a, you know, that does serve as like a form of to deter them. Hello?
Yeah.
My thing is, it's not about color for me. I don't care black, white, yellow, purple, red, whatever. I have a 12-year-old in middle school. I have nieces who are the same age. I have a niece. Yes, my favorite niece, who was the same age as those kids who were killed in Sandy Hook. So when I hear something like that, I don't hear color. I hear, okay, that could have been her. That could have been my nieces. That could have been my child. We need to get off this color war about, well, they don't report black crime like they report white crime. Okay, certain crimes happen on a regular. It's become normal in our eyes. Does that make it okay? No. But something as atrocious as 20 kids being gunned down all at one time under the span of 5-10 minutes, mm-hmm. Come on now, to say that the media is making a false argument, that's not a false argument. Because you had a crazy person who had access to guns that were purchased legally. And all these crazy people aren't getting these guns illegally, they're getting them legally, they're getting them through someone who got them legally. And that should be the conversation, the topic, not whether or not people should have guns or not. It should be certain people should not be allowed to have guns.
Here's a problem you're going to run into. If I go out and steal somebody's car, and in the process of stealing, I've stolen that car and killed somebody, is it the car's fault? Is it the owner of the car's fault? Or is it my fault? And that's the kind of argument you're putting out there.
It's,
It's your fault, but if you didn't have access to that gun, then you would have been able to shoot that car up. Now, would you?
Diva, here, what Michigan has said, and what I've said on the show before, if it was not an issue until these were little white kids shot up in the classroom, that is the entire point. Because on that same weekend,
it would have been an issue if it was black kids. The fact of the matter is that it was 20 kids all shot and killed.
And the fact that the assailant had some type of mental problem as well, you also need a universal background check for mental illness for anyone who wants to purchase a high-capacity rifle.
Let me tell you, a person that should not be able to purchase a gun or knives or anything that could be used as a weapon to kill somebody.
Listen to what I'm saying. 61 African-Americans in the city of Chicago. Chicago has a no-gun policy. They've got the toughest policy.
I get what you guys are saying, but there's a difference.
Chicago also
you have
has
a killing here,
an
you have a killing
problem.
There, and you have a killing here. But when you have someone able to walk into a school where we deem it safe for our own kids, you send them to school, you don't think you don't have no, you be like, all right, they cool.
A life is a life.
But
so
the fact of the matter is, what got people so upset was the fact
time.
That they're not on the street. They were not on a street where we know that things could possibly happen. They were in a school where we thought they were safe. And the color has nothing to do with it, because if it was 20 black kids in
a
classroom, it would have been the same thing. Life is a life, but I guarantee you agree with the death penalty.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't. But the thing is,
okay, so life is not a life if you agree with the death penalty. But back to my point.
Yeah, Amos Wilson said, first of all, anytime you hear a black person say they don't see color, it's a person either ignorant or they have a mental illness.
I don't see color. I said when it came to the shooting, my first thought wasn't, if these were little black kids, they wouldn't be posting them on TV.
You're talking about a social phenomenon, and when you're talking about social phenomena, you have to look at it in the context.
You don't have to look at 20 innocent children getting gunned down like they're animals.
Getting on radio programs now talking about gun control just because the dominant culture now.
I'm sorry, we've been talking about guns. Huh? We've been talking about guns and gun control on this program, and I have my sense for 3 years now. They've been talking about this issue back and forth for 3 years now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just mainstream in the media. And no, the argument is not just now coming about. This argument has been going on for years now, even in the media. But there was nothing to grasp anyone's attention. There was nothing to grasp anyone's attention. You forget, we live in a society where predominantly white people. So until it happens to them, they're not going to take hold. They're not going to take notice. But black people have been taking notice. Is that fair? No, it's not fair. But sometimes something has to happen to make everybody take notice. It's the fact that these were school children in their classroom. Not out on the street doing God knows what, or just having a day in their yard where we know anything can happen, especially in their bad neighborhood. They were in a relatively neighborhood where this type of thing does not happen. So you wouldn't expect it. I live in the same type of neighborhood. So that was my first thought, was like, oh my gosh, I live in the same type of neighborhood. That could have been my nieces. That could have been my child. Who cares about color when it comes to 20 innocent kids being killed?
Here, the conservatives make a good point, and I disagree with 99% of what they say, but this is a good point. This particular gun debate has absolutely nothing to do with gun violence, period. It's a sham.
Really?
It has absolutely nothing to do with overall gun violence.
So what
does it not get at the issue at all.
Yeah, you have to get at the issue of what is the genesis of crime,
and you have
to get at the issue of people with mental illness allowed to have weapons.
And it does not do that.
But it's not people on the streets and the gangs and the little boys trying to be big men, killing people or innocent babies or retelling. They don't have this. Mental illness is not an issue with them. It's ego, more likely. It's pride.
No.
So how do you get to them?
Here's the thing. A person that's running around in the street
is the problem with them.
Well, there you go. Richard said it.
It's a dysfunctional community.
My question is, how do you get to them?
But it's also the fact that when people get into a fight or an argument, they don't want to put their hands on people if they believe that the other person might have a weapon. What they'll do is that person will just pull out the biggest gun that they can buy, and they'll just start to shoot. That's the problem. People are not able to control their anger in a lot of these urban areas, and in the past, the person would get into a fist fight. Now, because everybody has guns, the people just start to shoot each other. So the only way you're able to solve a lot of this is you have to enforce the gun laws at the time that these people are prosecuted, so they know so that they know they're going to get a maximum sentence for the assault, but also for the use of the handgun.
Philadelphia.
I could tell you someone who went to prison for 10 years for manslaughter, out now and still messing with guns. So that's not that probably more than likely.
No.
Well, he has
no.
to care. I mean, he feels like he has to carry guns.
You lose in multiple ways.
7945-5229 There are approximately 8 people within our the voices that you hear in studio with me is Jeff and Ben and Sticks. And myself, I think on the internet, we have Diva, Philadelphia, South Carolina, and Michigan. And so I'm going to please ask that I know that we all have a lot to say, and I think we're all proficient in this area. But we really have to understand we've got to get the point out. And I will try my best not to talk on top of people, but I will be pulling you in and pulling you out so that everybody has a fair part of the conversation. If you'll play right with me, I will not yell at you. If not, I will mute you in a heartbeat.
You know
what?
I agree with what you're saying there, Tracy. But
I get a lot of complaints in the street.
I get a lot because
they want to hear what we all have to say.
Right.
And every time we step on top of it, it comes into a major train wreck. Mm-hmm. And I got to cut that out, and I really do.
Well, I got to bring up one point of interest here. What Michigan said, I actually brought up the same very thing, Michigan, in a conversation with a friend of mine. Greg's his name, and he's black, and he accused me of playing the race card when I said that.
Well, in Michigan, my question to people like Philadelphia, because I agree with you, is my neighborhood where I live, we are armed to the teeth. All of my neighbors own multiple firearms, but we're not shooting at each other. And what makes my neighborhood different from, say, Philadelphia's neighborhood?
The mindset. That's a bad comparison.
But you have different social and economic situations in the city than you have in rural areas.
Dude, didn't you hear the announcement? Or am I missing it? Am I not clear?
I think just Philadelphia is missing it, obviously, because he's wrong on gun rights, too.
No, you can't compare your rural neighborhood to my inner city neighborhood. You can, and I don't care how many, because don't think that they're not legal guns in the community.
And that's something that white America doesn't understand.
You can't compare your lily white rural area to why y'all don't shoot at each other.
Why?
To where I live in the inner city, and I do, because we have been conditioned to fight against one another, and because it's like
this goes back to slavery now.
And it goes back to Jim Crow, goes back to slavery. Uh-huh. We've been, you know, you can't put a whole bunch, it's like a mob crowd. And so you can't say, well, you know, we were out there in the middle of the, why don't y'all do like us? We weren't raised to be like y'all. They don't want us to be like y'all.
You was raised to shoot at each other.
Tracy. We was raised to hate each other.
Yeah, because, you know.
I was not raised to hate.
Well, but there was competition.
Hold on, let me finish. Hold on. And then we're not talking about all. But we were raised to not trust one another. We weren't. I'm not supposed to trust Jeff because he's a black man. Period. He's not supposed to trust me because I'm a black woman. I'm not supposed to respect him because he's a black man. And I'm supposed to keep my distance from him. So how am I supposed to cohabitate in the same house when I'm taught not to trust him and I teach my boys not to look a white man in the eyes?
So who taught you not to trust Jeff? I understand not being being taught not to trust me.
No, society.
See, I don't know what the big difference was, because I came up in inner city south side, she came up in inner city east side.
No, I came up in inner city white folks.
But see, I don't know anything about what she's saying. All I know is that you had rivalries of all types. Different parts of town had rivalries. I was involved in shootouts with different parts of town myself. Thank God that none of us knew how to shoot in those days. Also, I might not be here at this particular time. And so thank God that I learned how not to do it. But before I went away to service, my brother took my gun away from me, which I purchased illegally on the black market before I was 18 years old. So for all of you people that talk, my daughter, my son is not going to be involved in this stuff, poppycock. It's everywhere, and you think they ain't around it, then you are a fuel.
Mistaken.
Sadly, a fuel.
Turn your mic down a little bit.
Yeah, and that brings up a good question, because, you know, you had great parents. You had a great upbringing.
I did.
But that doesn't mean
you're
shallow.
That's right. Well, you had issues now.
Right.
But see, what I'm saying is, you got to understand, for me to shoot you, I have to not like me. And yes, black-on-black crime is deeper than just, you know, we just go out shooting.
I don't understand that statement.
Yeah, because
well,
you
shoot
look at
me, you don't like you.
Why
would shoot you?
Yeah.
I don't like
you. Black-on-black crime is a very well-known term in America today. But you look at the Columbine Massacre. That was mostly white-on-white crime, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
But,
right.
But what makes it? Why do we call it different? What's the difference? Why don't we call black on black crime?
And why
that
are these mass shootings that are happening not happening
you
with black
with
people?
Philadelphia.
Yes.
I'm sorry, you're gone. Go ahead, Six.
And why are these mass shootings happening in white middle class and suburban areas and not in black schools?
Yeah, I mean
because white people have mental conditions.
What'd you say, Michigan?
Because white people have mental, every group is allowed to have mentally crazy people in it, and white folk have a lot of them. That's why.
I'm not going to disagree with that. What's
yeah, he must
hey,
be my family.
Tracy, am I on?
Go ahead, Larry.
Hey, I think where Diva got confused was all the misinformation that came out of that place there, because You know, the rifle was in the trunk. They got pictures of that from a helicopter showing them pulling that AR-15. But then the coroner, when he come out with his report, he said that they were shot by an AR-15. So I think that's where she's confused. But that kid did shoot them people with the handguns. But let's be honest and real here. Everything that's out there right now that the left is throwing against the Second Amendment, all 24 of Obama's executive orders, are in place. They were in place 10 years ago, let's say. And then everything that Manchin and Toomey want to put out there, it still does not fix crazy. You cannot legislate against a moral hazard. And that kid had a moral hazard. He was crazy. Just like the guy that was crazy that dressed up as Batman, just like the guy that was down at Virginia Tech. That killed all those people down there, you can't legislate against that. And what nobody really wants to talk about is the health issues. I said this when I was on air with you the last time. All of those, and if you go all the way back into the 70s, and every last one of these guys that have done these mass shootings was on some kind of psychotic drug.
But
nobody
wants
to talk about that.
We don't want to talk about how we shut down the mental hospitals and we put everybody on the street, too, and we don't let them... We want to have inclusion programs inside of our schools and not label them as crazy.
Well, I think the biggest mass murderer
Tracy,
of all was the religious leader, wasn't he?
What'd you say, Larry?
Yeah, go to the Drudge Report right now. There's a link up there. The state of Nevada has cut their mental health stuff so bad that what they're doing now, Tracy, is they're releasing these guys, putting them on Greyhound buses, and just shipping them off to every state in the union. A majority of them going to Southern California, but every state in the union in the last 5 years has received. I'm telling you, it's the truth. It's right there. You know, there's.
You wonder why Harry Reid hasn't got his bus pass yet.
Yeah, exactly. But nobody wants to talk about the issues. The left will take it here, and like I said, they could put all 25 of Obama or all 24 of his executive orders past this Toomey Manchin bill. And what happens when the next kid goes in there with a bunch of clips on handguns and kills people, right? The next thing will be like, okay, we tried this. Now let's go after all the guns. And then there you got to fight. Because like
well,
Six
that's
said,
what they're doing.
He lives with, yeah, and that's exactly what they're doing. But Diva doesn't want to listen to that part of it. And it's funny how liberals will embrace the Constitution when it suits their needs, but then want to trash it with this. And there was a reason our founders made it, not the first one, but the Second Amendment, is because gun control, I mean, if you didn't own a gun back then, you didn't eat. So it was never about your shotgun. It was about your government being too repressive and if you wanted to fight your government. It's funny how Obama and them will arm these rebels, the Muslim Brotherhood in Syria, right, because they're fighting against the army in Egypt, but they don't want to take our weapons away from us.
That's
something different. We can't talk about that.
And
no,
we've been conditioned to trust the government. And see, that's where I'm...
Who's been conditioned? Because I haven't.
I've never trusted my government.
No.
But if you listen to people, they are being conditioned that they need to trust the government because the government is the only one that really needs to have any type of resource or have any ammunition because they need them for security.
I agree with that on one condition. Who is the government?
No, we
answer my question.
We are the government.
We the people, right?
We the people.
So we the people need to be armed to the teeth because we are the government.
No, not we the people.
We're not the one making the laws. The only ones who should be able to carry weapons are the military and the police.
That's foolishness.
Diva,
yeah, sure
are
is.
You under?
That's crazy as hell.
I don't care if you disagree. That's just my opinion. If you don't like it, that's what you do.
No,
you
don't
have to ask. Agree with it. I'm just asking, respect me as a person who was given an opinion.
Now, go ahead, Jeff.
That's foolishness, and no, we don't like your opinion because it's crazy. And it has no basis. It has no basis in any type of true reality because unless you're a lemming or you're just a goose waiting to be shot or eaten by the coyotes, then don't arm yourself. That's up to you. That's your prerogative. But it is not what the law should be because the law specifically says, Second Amendment, that we have the right to bear arms. And not only that, in the intent of that law was that we should be able to guard ourselves, protect ourselves, in case the government turns on us, which is supposed to be of, for, and by the people. And I also know who did that shooting in Philadelphia. The one that shot up the Chinese food restaurant.
Was it illegal gun?
Hey, Jeff,
I don't know, but I know his name.
What's his name?
Hey, some young guy.
Hey, Diva.
Go ahead,
Diva.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, Larry?
Yeah, well, I was just going to close. I got to get on my next appointment, but there was that old saying about democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for dinner, and the true essence is that sheep having a gun and contesting that vote. And that's all it is. I mean, the Second Amendment was in there for just like Jeff said, to keep a repressive government. Because you got to remember, that's what they were running away from was a repressive government over in Europe at that point. And so
Michigan,
that was put in there for that reason. Thanks, Tracy.
Hey, you're welcome, Larry. Thanks for calling in. Now go ahead, Michigan.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say
Diva.
No,
hold on. Michigan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, this issue of, you know, the government. Yeah, the government is the people, so that's a straw argument, you know, to protect yourself against the government. Well, the government is the people. But now, the government is almost like any other like any other industry. And so you do have to keep it reined in because it will get too big for its britches. So from that perspective, I understand that. But the argument that the only people that should have guns is the police and the military, that's crazy as hell.
Are you sure you're not a Republican?
I was going to say.
But, you know, this we have been conditioned, and when I say the government, we're taught to trust our legislative body. And our administrative, and we are not supposed to trust them like we are. And they're trying to get you to buy into this. When I talk about black-on-black crime, black-on-black crime is conditioned crime,
Tracy,
by society.
Tracy, I hear these people saying, well, I don't fear my government. You don't have to. I got enough fear in me for you. okay? And I say we arm ourselves against these fools. When you got an idiot lady up there, chief, and lawmakers are agreeing with her that we should look at our children as being owned by society.
That's something Hitler said.
But
that's
all
that's what I'm
saying. We have to understand that you have to
take
ownership of your own responsibility. And what they're trying to do is we are trading our responsibility and or sort of exchanging our responsibility for something that is not ours.
Well, we're selling our freedom to the government and becoming slaves to the system.
Well, I think there are many people that do not realize there isn't a single police charter in the United States that says the police are there to protect you.
And to enforce the law.
They are there to enforce the law. And the Supreme Court has ruled over and over again, the police are under no legal requirement to protect you.
That's right.
They are there to report, write the reports, and clean up the bodies. That is the job of the police department.
And also,
I beg to differ.
Hold on, Diva. Listen, you can, and a lot of people do, and that's why I love you, because you think like a good 48% of the American population.
I think a good 48% doesn't think at all.
I was going to get ready to say they don't think.
That's just my opinion.
They don't.
But what I'm saying is we have to start taking the responsibility of our own future and quit giving it away to anyone who comes along and says, I'll take it. Because when you give it away, we don't understand that we become a slave to something that we shouldn't be a slave to, whether it be to money or to the system itself. And right now you have a population who has become a slave to the system, and so we're asking the government for everything that we have, including our security, instead of standing up on our own two feet and saying, I'm not going to let you damage my child. So we send our children to school.
Jeff did a low blow to the sister now. To Melissa.
What did I do?
That's a low blow, man. When you understand, Jeff, you understand the concept of it takes a village to raise a child. And that's the spirit in which, you know, she was saying that. And quite honestly, Jeff,
no,
you had
no,
raised
wasn't.
No like that.
Michigan.
Well,
no,
that may have been the spirit that she was doing that in, but she also, the spirit was having the village idiot be in charge.
No.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
then,
well,
then
of course,
corny.
You know, because, yeah. But Jeff, you and Tracy, you know what that means in the African context, and I think.
Well, no, but she wasn't
right,
African.
You talking about Melissa Harris?
Yeah. And then she brought a little politics in there, but that's what's wrong with the black community now, that there is no, you know, camaraderie
and
unity. So
she's fully bought into the liberal progressive mindset that we are, just like you heard President Obama talk about, he believes in a collective salvation, okay, which is a bunch of foolishness when it comes to salvation, really, religion.
Yeah.
But the thing is no, she was saying that we always look at our children as our own and our own responsibility, when in reality we need to look at them as the whole community owns your child. No, you don't own my child, baby.
But you have
I
to
own
yeah,
my
finish
child,
that out.
And you, not only that, I don't even want you speaking to my child because you were a fool, and I can't
finish her statement out. Yeah, her statement, but her statement was, she was, that was in the context of how much we invest into public education. So she was saying,
mm-hmm.
once you see, you know, the child as being yours and all children as being yours, we would start to make the type of investments, public investments, into all children and not just a few. So from that context, of course it ain't gonna happen, but from that context, you're saying you don't understand that?
No, hold on. Let me play the clip so that we understand.
Never invested as much in public education as we should have, because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families, and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
That was her statement.
No.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, Alex, go ahead.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Did you hear that,
Alex? I heard every word.
Go ahead, Alex.
Two things real quick. Melissa Harris is her name, whatever. Yes, yeah. She is she's exactly what's wrong with America, especially with black folks. the first thing she said is, which should be telling, is that America has never invested as much as it should have. How much is enough? I mean, as much as it should have into education. If people, I mean, look at the numbers. America puts more money per child than any country in the world, and we're ranked, you know, close to 30th. We're like in the 27th or something like that. And so we need more money. I mean, obviously something is fundamentally wrong with the way that we're doing things. And people like her, you know, and I'm sorry, like I hate to, you know, talk about the Democrat Republican paradigm, but you know, it's mostly Democrats, but a lot of Republicans too, progressive-minded people. They think, you know, they just want more and more money, just to throw more and more money at it. How much is going to be enough? It'll never be enough because the country is we're fundamentally flawed in the way that we're doing things, as you know, because we're already spending more than everybody else in the world. So I mean, that what she says is just stupid. So, but besides that, I wanted to go back to something. You know, the reason I called in is Tracy, you said something that kind of bothered me. well, you're talking about the you asked the question, how come we can't compare Sticks neighborhood to the urban neighborhoods? And I think that you can. I think you absolutely can. And I think that we've just been so conditioned to say that to basically look down on each other and expect the worst from each other. I'm talking about black people, that we say, well, it's our mentality. We just can't, you know, black folks just can't do right, you know. and it's not that at all.
I'm not saying that at all. But his world is different. I think you don't think so.
No, I don't think it is. I mean, because talk to everyday black folks, even in inner city Youngstown, when it comes to their core values, what they believe the same thing Sticks does.
I believe
and
that.
That's,
I agree with
you.
Hold on,
it's his environment.
But the difference is that the state, the system, the police department particularly targets our neighborhood to terrorize, and that is the difference. It is the systemic racism in this country that makes our environment hell and his peaceful. That is the difference.
Okay, now I will take that. I will take that because that's what I'm saying. But see, they don't see the hell that we live in the inner city and the peace they live in the rural and suburban areas.
Correct.
Are you following me?
Correct.
I'll agree.
So when it comes to it, they look at it and say, well, why can't you just get along? And I'm saying they breed for us to kill each other because they create an environment for us.
If I see a sheriff's car drive past the house once a year, it's something.
Well, we see a sheriff's car drive past the house once
every day.
We don't see none.
Every 20 minutes.
Well, there ain't no. I mean, that's the only law enforcement we have out there is a sheriff. There is no police department.
But what I'm
usually in my neighborhood, when you see a cop car, you run towards it, or policeman, towards it.
And so do we in our community when we can see one.
Yeah.
But see, what you fail to realize is they, and I'm going to say this about black men, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. The emasculation of the black man as a boy. When he's going down the street just playing, teaches them to run away from the police instead of running to them.
Right.
Are you understand? I mean, when they pull Jeff over going down the street when he is, you know, 15 years old and harass the crap out of him, how
crazy.
Am I supposed to arrest you and treat you with respect when
crazy.
I harass you until
but
I die?
So by the same
time. You want the emasculation in a nutshell?
Yeah.
We black men, have been challenged to a duel, and we ain't ready to fight.
Oh, absolutely.
You fill in the blanks.
Explain that, please. Explain that to us white folks.
Yeah, because you're
going to... it's over my head right now.
Well, let me add this one, Michigan, that coming up with this amnesty thing, we're getting ready to be financially...
eliminated.
We're done. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, they're financially eliminated. And I don't understand these stupid behind follow after kissing their party chiefs behind people.
Yeah,
because
they don't understand it.
They do understand it. The Black Caucus understands. These people aren't unlearned.
Let me say this, Jeff. If you drink my Kool-Aid long enough, you will tell me that my cherry Kool-Aid is now great. You can and hold on.
Yeah,
let me
for the regular people.
Hold on. No, I'm talking about for the caucus. Not only that, if I put you under my thumb, and I can put you under my thumb, I will expose you for all of the dirt you've ever done if you cross me.
This is what's going on with the Black Caucus. They are of the ruling class of people, and they think that they're going to be given a place in the kingdom. That is
the
what
Black
these
Caucus?
People. Yes.
The Black Caucus.
The Black Caucus. The political Black Caucus. They think that they're going to get a job on the plantation, keeping y'all in line. And the thing is they know better than the stuff that they're supporting.
Jeff, I disagree with you.
I know you do.
Tell you why?
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have a job.
Who don't have a job?
They don't have a job. The example was made
with
Jesse Jackson Jr. They don't have a job. All I need for you to do is keep me out of where Jesse going, or I'm going to be ADD, ADHD, and mentally ill.
They're acting like Jesse is stupid, that's all.
No, Jesse Jackson Jr., his son going to jail. I'm talking about the congressman, the young cat that just breezed through his congressional district and then walked his way into jail. You got to understand, there is a game that goes on through this.
Absolutely.
And you saw what they did with Charlie Rangel.
Yeah.
You saw what they did with Maxine Waters.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to step out of step when they don't allow you? Because you got to keep you in your place.
Right.
And while I keep you in your place, your job is to keep everybody else in their place.
Right.
So what they do is they make it to where you have no voice. You're not allowed to say anything wrong because everything is good.
Right. I hear what you're saying, but I'm telling you, some of these people are not stupid.
We're not talking about stupid. We're talking about silence.
I don't think that, like I said, they are silenced because they think they're going to get a sitting at the table, and they're not going to get do-do.
They ain't going to sit at the table.
I'm trying to tell you.
Why would they
do this? Because they know it's over.
814, go ahead.
Most of those people come out of the civil rights era, and which have the Martin Luther King mind state, which a lot of them do think that America is theirs too. But now, the table that they're sitting at is the kids' table, and if you take them out, the next set of blacks will be sitting at the kids' table too. So they understand that. So if you take out that Black Caucus and put another group in there, they will be sitting at the kids' table too. You're going
to
get what they have available for you. Either way.
Hold on, Michigan. Go ahead, 814. I got some people calling in.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm listening to you guys. I'm trying to understand why you're trying to convince blacks or the impoverished to vote or even support the Republican Party.
I'm not.
If you look at it, seems like you're saying, look, you know, what if the Democrats are keeping the poor by their policies, and that the progressive policies are bad. But when you look at like the economy, most bankruptcies, okay, like six states are Republican out of the top 10 states with the most residents living in poverty, 9 states are Republican. Lowest medium housing value, all 10 of the lowest housing values are in Republican states. I mean, I've got these are stats from the IRS, the FBI, and the CDC that basically show you healthcare, the highest usage of prescription meds, 9 are red states. Most incidents of deaths for lung cancer, 9 are red states. Let's look at mental health. Highest rate of suicides, 7 are red states. Let's look at family values. Most domestic homicides, 7 are Republicans. Highest teen birth rate, 8 are red states. Highest divorce rate, 9 are red states.
Hold on. Because you're reading a Facebook page. But listen, my question is, listen to what I'm saying. You've not heard us say, come out and vote Republican, have you?
Yes,
you cannot.
I've listened to this station all the
time.
No,
you haven't.
You guys, this last week, you guys were saying, you know, I can't believe why you would vote for, why you continue to vote Democrat if you're black, because they've done nothing but keep
you
down.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If you look at every urban setting across this country,
mm-hmm.
tell me what the majority of the political population is.
Urban setting?
Urban
Democrat.
Setting.
Democrat.
Okay. Where do you mm-hmm. find the most African-Americans centralized, and who's in control there?
Urban environments.
Do you see where's a problem when there is all one party and you lock yourself in and people take advantage of you?
Oh, who's taking advantage of you? I see
that you're in a 330 area code.
Correct.
Look at Youngstown.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think that we would have the mess that we have politically in the Northeast Ohio Mahoning Valley if we had a balanced form of government?
What do you mean? What does that mean?
Right now we have
more
been in a Democrat. Right now we have
what
been in,
mean,
in a We've been in a Democrat stronghold right now in for the last 50 years, which means there's no balance of power ever. We don't, after the primary, you don't even have to go out and vote too often, because there may or may not be anything on the ballot for you to vote for. Because
yes,
since there is a stronghold here, there is no second voice and there are no checks and balances. I'm not telling anyone that they have to come out and become Republican. What I'm saying is they need to become independent and vote for who is right, not just straight party line, whether you're Republican or Democrat.
Let's look at the nation. You look at the states with the least college graduates, and nine of them are Republican states. They have a Republican governor. They have Republican senators. Okay, so Republican policies in the states that they dominate, they fail the voting public.
But that's not always true.
Let me ask this question. Hold on, South Carolina. Hold on, one at a time.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay,
the
policies
are to keep you uneducated,
depressed, obese, over medicated.
Listen, hold on. One
okay,
at a time.
Now let's take the way the dynamic is going. What kind of populations are in those states that you're talking about? Are we talking about Texas?
We're talking about southern states primarily, which are primarily red states.
Are we talking about the ones that are overrun by the illegal aliens that are coming into the country and eating up every resource that we have and overflooding our schools? Shut up, everybody. And overflooding our schools. And,
well, first of all, if they're illegal,
having a lot of people
at a time,
are American businesses that are going bankrupt because the cheaper labor that is flooding over our borders and putting our people out of business in this country, is that what you're talking about? Yes, I think that is what you're talking about.
No,
and once
I'm
again,
not.
I'll tell you. Look at the dynamic of the state. This is not something just plain the Republicans run things in the ground. Democrats, progressive, liberal Democrats, have destroyed the inner workings of this America by their stupid views of what they think is what we should be acting like.
But so why do these states that are like Mississippi, Alabama, South Carolina, these states that continually make the tops in or the bottoms in education, for instance, you know, with most high school dropouts, eight of these states are primarily Republican-dominated states.
Hold on, South Carolina. He brought up your state. Help me out.
Yeah, why are these states? They vote Republican,
Hold on, caller. What's your name? What you want me to call you?
Me?
Yeah.
Mike. You can call me Mike.
Hi, Mike. Hold on, South Carolina. Go ahead, because you live down there, so I'd rather be for you to speak to it.
Well, I'm going to tell you plainly, the reason why you got the situation you got in South Carolina is because you got your educational system being basically bullied by politicians, and even though we have a good majority in our state house that's Republican, we still have an issue with trying to improve schools because most of the boards are not Republican. Most of the boards have bought into the progressive ideology of teaching a certain way and teaching all kids on the same level.
That's why we've been fighting very hard to get school choice and get a voucher program so these parents can send their kids to the school that they want to. It is not the parent that does not want their child to go to a good school. It's the leadership. It's the NEA. It's the progressive ideology. It's the Democrat Party, dude. And South Carolina votes Republican. But see, you're missing one thing. Look at all the companies that are coming into South Carolina. You never said anything about growth. Tell me which
Smith and Wesson. I think Smith and Wesson has a factory down there in South Carolina, don't they? So you guys make guns down there, don't you?
No, we make BMWs here. Okay.
Yeah, imported from Germany. And that goes against what you guys are saying. I mean, all those parts are first imported from Germany before they're assembled in America, so they're still benefiting.
Caller, what brand of automobile has the most U.S. parts in it? That's parts produced and assembled in the United States. What brand of automobile?
I don't know. What's
Toyota.
Your answer?
Toyota.
No,
so
that's not true.
That's true.
That's not true.
Toyota
actually
imports the plant in Atlanta for Toyota. I was just looking at Toyota the other day. They import more of their parts from Japan, and they're going to benefit now in the future by the decreased yen currency that they're flooding.
Talking about car models. And there's another problem with your facts, caller, is dollars in income does not always equal poverty. Where I live, you can live extremely comfortably on $40,000 a year. You cannot live on $40,000 a year in many, many parts of New York.
Sure.
So you cannot look at dollars per dollar and come up with a poverty rate. That's the problem with federalism and federalization things. What is
okay,
poor
well,
in South Carolina?
Let's
is
look
possibly,
at homicides and birth rates and divorce rates. Let's
well,
look at health care. Let's look at mental health care. Let's look at the environment, the tough on crime, the war on drugs. All of these things, the Republican policies end this, put the state
but
at the bottom of these, all of these
guys,
categories.
Listen, South Carolina.
What Democrat state has everything that he's talking about in his software?
I can understand.
Illinois about broke.
California.
New York is broke.
Hey, California, that's a Democratic
California's
state.
California's broke.
Yeah.
New York's not broke. Connecticut's not
no
broke. Vermont's
state
not
doing
broke.
Better than the red states. I don't know why. Now hold on, guys.
Now, I got to say this because most of your states across the United States are red. They have Republican governors. The majority of them.
Yes.
The majority of the counties in the United States are
red.
And the majority of the states are red. The only way they went blue is with President Obama's race.
Yes, and he used psychiatrists and psychologists to plan how to move the electorate. Too.
Hey, he was smart. Don't mind him for being smart.
That's true, but he only won 16 counties in the state of Ohio.
But he won the popular vote by 3 million people.
Now, hold on. Now, let's be honest with you. How did he win the popular vote by 3 million people?
I don't even want to talk about the election.
What are you going to say? There's a conspiracy? Are we going to go into conspiracy now?
But also,
no, he's a very smart man, and he's very good at manipulating the populace.
You guys are preaching independent responsibility here, and you're saying that everyone's we got to raise our own children. It's all independent, but then you're saying that their votes are manipulated.
You mean to tell me? Because you sound like a very very smart man.
He just drank too much Kool-Aid.
No, Mike, you sound like a very very smart man.
All right.
So you mean to tell me you really believe that there was voter suppression in the state of Ohio?
I've called in and we've talked about this topic before. Okay,
so Mike,
do
you really believe that?
Do I believe that voter suppression exists? Yes, I do.
In the state of Ohio, because you're calling from Ohio. So in the state of Ohio, was there voter suppression? I'm not
I
talking about
say
any
that
other
for
state.
Sure, I didn't work on any of those things, but dude, were
let me
there
say this.
Attempts?
Hold on.
Yes,
if
the
I mail,
story
listen,
I, read.
I mail, listen, if I, listen. If you want to know how they overshot this, and I'm not going to say, you know, politics is dirty. You know, you do whatever you have to do to get your vote out, and I'm not going to act like Republicans don't do their own little shenanigans too. I'm not going to blow smoke like that.
Mm-hmm.
But saying that there was voter suppression, having people stand in line for a suppression that was not fair in the state of Ohio, it pushed the inner cities out to overshoot the votes in the areas that he did not win, because he won all the urban areas by a great margin, making sure that people came out to vote because they thought that there was voter suppression and they were going to take their vote away.
Didn't he win some of them by 110%? So,
yes.
Oh, well, here we go. Like yeah. Now, he won 97% of the black vote, but the
people stood in line for hours to go and vote
twice
when they didn't have.
I'll assume that you're correct.
Three hours.
Don't play.
Let's go around.
Oh,
well, there was one that voted five times.
No, they didn't.
One lady that admitted she voted five times.
In the state of Ohio.
Yes, in Cleveland. Yes, there's one lady in Cleveland that admitted she voted five times.
Lady, they have quite a few.
No, there's only one I heard about. I don't want to lie about any others. Just the one voted five times.
This should not take 6 hours to vote. It should not take a person 6 hours to cast their vote.
Why did it take 6 hours to vote?
Because they had us, when they did early voting, they had us all in one centralized location. Franklin County is a very large county. So if you wanted to vote early, you had to go to one place. And for the first time around, I had
Did you receive a letter in the mail saying if you wanted to vote from home, you could?
Not the first election, no.
No, Diva, did you receive a letter in the mail from the Secretary of State asking you to fill out an absentee ballot request if you chose to? Did you receive it in the mail?
I do know. I did
you
not
did
receive
not,
that.
Which means you were not registered to vote.
Yes, I am registered
to
vote.
I am registered.
Then you got that letter.
Then you got the letter.
No, I did not, because I moved a couple of times. I did not get that letter. I did not even get an absentee ballot. My mother got one.
Then you did not vote in the precinct that you should have, because every registered voter in the state of Ohio got a letter asking them to vote from home.
She could have asked for one. I didn't
get that letter.
Tracy, you're claiming that Obama used this propaganda of taking away voter suppression to stimulate the inner city vote and get them out to vote.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Which, okay, I'll take your word on that, and let's assume you're right. How is that different than the Republicans putting gay marriage or other things on the ballot to stimulate Republicans to the poll?
A few minutes ago, I just said to you, a few minutes that politics is dirty. Did I not say that?
But wait, I don't understand how that's a bad or good thing. Wait, if it gets people out to use their right to vote, they still have the right to vote.
Diva, don't answer for me.
Don't answer for me. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying either one is right. Sensationalized voting is not good.
They still have a vote. Still got out and they voted.
But
and they still voted for a Democrat.
They did not. You know why? Listen, they voted. But let me tell you what they do. I don't mind you voting for who you choose to vote for. But I do mind that you vote down ticket and you don't know anything else that you're voting for. And what happens is it kills our young people. Because bad people get in when you vote down ticket and you don't know who you're voting for.
So how do you stop people voting R or D all the way down?
This afternoon, I'm going to go to one of the schools and start talking to them about the process. We're going to have to start educating our people, the American electorate, on the whole process, both Republican and Democrat, how the system works. I don't want ignorant voters on either side. I'm not promoting that. But what I am saying is it's killing our future because of our ignorance.
No one disagrees with that.
But you understand that the uneducated voter is killing America.
Yes.
We all agree on that. I think we all agree. But the problem is how do we educate them? The Republican
system
isn't working.
Listen, but when I ask people to think, this show is all about getting people to think. I want people to understand what immigration does. What I have a problem right now with the Republican Party demonizing people and not giving them their access to what's rightfully theirs, even though I do not agree with marriage.
Immigration is all about the cost of labor.
Listen, but are you following what I'm saying? Whether it be about labor, whether it be about anything, America needs to make sure that they're balanced. Right now, we are so out of balance. We are so out of whack. We are so undereducated, and we are so emotionalized and emotionally charged. We know who won down in Venezuela, but we don't know who won in America.
And we have a drive to have a background check to buy a gun, but not a background check or any kind of check of all, but to vote. Does that make sense to you?
And Mike, here's a perfect
example. And we got to have register our cars, and we don't have to register our guns.
Here's a perfect example of what uninformed voters have done to the state of Ohio. Several years ago, we amended the Constitution of the state of Ohio to tie our minimum wage to the consumer price index. That will eventually destroy the economy in the state of Ohio.
Absolutely.
Because at some point, when that minimum wage gets too high, I'm going to go buy my own lawnmower. I'm going to start brown bagging my lunch. I'm going to start shoveling my own snow.
I'm going to start
emptying my own chair. And then, eventually, I'm going to move to Wyoming.
Florida has better tax rates.
I don't understand that. Please explain why the cost of mowing your lawn is going to go up. Okay, if the consumer price index, if you can't figure that out, your salary should increase. Get a job that makes more money.
Explain this to you: if you make minimum wage too high, a man who owns a grass company cutting company. One of the few things he has control of is what he pays his labor. He has no control over his gasoline. He has no control over the cost of his equipment. But he does have a control over his labor. And when you force him to pay a labor to the point where his service is no longer purchasable.
Wow. What's your first name? I'm sorry, sir, I don't know your first name. What is your first name?
Call me Sticks here.
Sticks.
They call him
Sticks. You just made an unbelievable argument. You're saying that you're against immigration, which is the influx of cheap labor, but now you're saying that you can't tell people that what they can pay.
This is unreal. You're making two separate arguments against each other. Mike doesn't get it.
We're not talking about
Listen,
there are work programs where, and I will have you, like I bring somebody on here, we'll talk about work programs, that people come up from other parts of the world to work here on labor, that or would it be picking fruit or other labor jobs,
mm-hmm.
and it's a labor relationship that American government has with Mexico and other countries. And they work here, they stay here, they take care of them, then they go back home and seasonal work. We're talking about amnesty. There's a difference between immigration reform and amnesty and giving everybody, 11 million people, a pathway to American citizenship without going through the right way. You got to realize you got people who are coming in here the right way. They're spending thousands of dollars to walk in the door the right way. But we're going to let people who have been illegal come in here and stay here and get all the rights and privileges of America and not come in the door the right way. I don't think it's right. And then we're not going to secure the borders
before we do. Why don't you think it's right? Well, first of all, the borders are more secure under Obama than any president. He's increased the funding for borders. He's increased the drones, he's increased the cameras, he's increased the people on the ground by billions of dollars in his presidency. So to say that the borders are not more secure under him is a lie. Look at the numbers. He's got drones, he's got man feet on the ground in the borders. But I want to know, why do you think it's wrong that people can't come to this country to find a better life? Why do you think it's wrong that they're trying to get here and they're not allowed?
Yeah. I gotta pick up.
Yeah,
call.
Mike,
you're
okay.
Too far. 833-0614. Your mic is on.
Hey Tracy, it's Matt. How you doing?
Hey Matt, can you hold on through my break?
I certainly can.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back.
Computer, then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number. 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love. If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Some members of Congress want to change that. ABC's Aaron Katursky with more.
Tainted steroid injections made in Massachusetts caused last summer's meningitis deaths, but there are compound pharmacies all over the country that produce all sorts of medications without much oversight. Now a group of pharmacists, hospitals, and public health officials says the FDA should be given more authority. The group also supports the creation of a do-not-compound list of medications that should not be mixed. A congressional committee on Tuesday will hear testimony about compounding pharmacies, which are considered at high risk for contamination.
The Supreme Court hearing arguments today on whether human genes can be patented. The High Court's decision would have a profound effect on medical research, biotechnology, and even the use of organisms to produce biofuels. The court's being asked to decide whether DNA patents, which have been issued for 30 years, are legal. Key provisions of New York's tough new gun law kicked in, meaning owners of firearms that are now classified as assault weapons are required to register those guns. Meanwhile, some gun rights groups are endorsing the bipartisan bill expanding background checks for gun buyers. Jared Mott with the Bull Moose Sportsman's Alliance.
I think that we can all agree that there are people in our society who shouldn't have guns, and that background check is really the only logical firewall that prevents them from getting that gun.
A warning in Florida about an invasion of giant snails that eat through stucco and carry disease. State agriculture officials say 1,000 giant African land snails as big as rats have been caught every week for the past year and a half. Denise Fiber with the Florida Department of Agriculture.
It's highly recommended that people do not consider this as a food source. This is a pest, and it really needs to be eradicated.
This is ABC News.
Hi, folks. Jay Farner here, president of Quicken Loans. We're thrilled to have helped over 125,000 homeowners save money by refinancing with HARP. But there are millions more of you who could be saving big money on your home loans by getting HARPed. With HARP, you may be able to refinance with Quicken Loans even if your home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you get HARPed and start saving. Or if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Once again, if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Stressed out by having to file your tax returns today? Lots of businesses are offering deals that might make tax day go a little easier.
Restaurant freebies for tax day. The deals are worth looking out for.
Sometimes you might have to buy something in addition to that free item, but you can pretty much eat cheaply out all day on tax day.
Lindsay Secreta of Deal News.
Arby's is offering free French fries in places like Cinnabon, Brugger's Bagels, Panda Express. They're all planning offers on tax day as well.
Office Depot will shred 5 pounds of documents free. And
every year, Hydro Massage offers a free 15-minute massage
to help relieve tax-related stress. Richard Davies, ABC News.
President Obama has already filed his taxes, declaring a total income of $600,000 last year, charitable donations of $150,000, most of that a single gift to the Fisher House Foundation for Wounded Warrior Families. Wall Street, the Dow off 175 points. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
I noticed my parents had trouble getting around the house. Independence is important to them, and I wanted to help. Early & Sons relocation made the house safe with a floor plan that allows easy access to every room, special fixtures, and hand railings. I worry less about them when they're alone. Early & Sons relocation offers downsizing, relocation and moving services, handyman and lawn care services, and age-in-place services to remain in your home safely. Call Early & Sons relocation for your free consultation, 330-501-7004, or earleyandsons.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Spring is here, so let's talk green. Don't let poor landscaping take away from your beautiful home. Get your lawn like you've always dreamed of with J&J Ground Maintenance in Austintown. Call now and get half off your first cut of the season when you sign up for the year. J&J is now taking new customers for their proven fertilization program. What their competitors do in 8 treatments, they do in 5. It's okay if you weren't born with a green thumb. J&J Ground Maintenance in Austintown provides landscape services including design and installation, weekly lawn cuts, and leaf removal. Family owned and operated since 2008. Call now and get half off your first cut of the season when you sign up for the year. 330-953-1069. It's the only number you'll ever need. 330-953-1069. Like them on Facebook and let the landscape artist at J&J Ground Maintenance give you the picture-perfect lawn that you deserve.
Fit family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Are you a member of the Fuel Rewards Network program? If you are, you can pay less for Shell fuel. Just shop for FuelRewards.com or dine at participating restaurants to earn rewards. Then swipe up your savings at participating Shell stations. Sign up for free at FuelRewards.com.
The Druschel Financial Report on News Talk 600, Saturdays at 8:30. Bob Druschel discusses investment strategies for today's fast-moving financial markets. That's Saturdays at 8:30 on News Talk 600, WSOM.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Hey, Matt, Jeff Nimmer beat me up because I let the I let Mike dangle out there, and he was left, and they didn't get to refute him. So, Mike, I'm quite sure you're gonna help us out. Where have you been?
I've been trying to save America one person at a time, Tracy. It's killing. No, I've been really busy with some. Community projects in my local area here, as well as work, has just exploded, which is great. So I've been tied down pretty good.
So what's more important, you saving the world or you talking to me at least once a week?
I got to call in more, Tracy. I'm sorry. I've been a bad boy. I'm going to go stand in the corner while I talk to you here.
Oh, we don't do timeouts. I didn't come out from the timeout society. You know you're going to get it when I see you, right? Because I don't come from the area of timeouts. I don't even know what that is.
No timeouts. I'll take you up on that. Now, if I walk up to you in public sometime and I go, Tracy, here I am. It's time for a beating. I don't want you to blush.
Hey, and you know, she puts us in timeout, so I don't know why she's giving you a free pass.
Hey, man, sometimes she come in here with a whip and a leather dress on.
Well,
man,
her and I actually haven't met yet. That might say something. I'm sure once we meet, I'll be getting the time out daily too. But I wanted to refute something that Mike was talking about. First of all, he used a typical word on or a play on words when he said, "I don't understand why you guys are against immigration." Mike, if you're still listening, I don't think there's anybody in the studio, and at least most of the people on the lines here, are against immigration. We're against illegal immigration, and there's so many problems, and it goes on both sides of the way that you look at the issue. First of all, I've owned a landscaping business for about 12 years. The reason I went out of business was because of illegal immigration and them going out and working for some of these larger companies for $3.50 an hour. I can't compete with that. So, yes, Mike, it does indeed take its toll on American business because they can't compete with some of these people that are just floating by. Every once in a while, some of these companies will pay off a politician somewhere so they leave them alone. That's a fact. Now, looking on the other side of the coin here, the country, the U.S. government doesn't move fast enough or doesn't look hard enough when it comes to immigration. So they're part of the reason, too, why we're having this issue. I know a guy, he's actually doing some work for my sister on her property, and she pays him well. He's a Mexican immigrant, comes here on a green card, but he's been trying to get his citizenship for over 10 years. Over 10 years, and he hasn't gotten it yet. There's nothing in his background. There's nothing that would prevent it. They're just slow to move on it. So there's problems all over immigration. But I really take offense to the typical liberal argument to the conservatives saying that we're against immigration. It's simply not true. It's unfair, and it's a disgusting play on words.
And you know what I have to say to throw in what you're saying? You know, America is so greedy. If you look at how much it costs for you to get a passport, And if you look at how much they charge you for your car registration if you're past 7 days, not working business days.
Here in Ohio.
Here in Ohio. I'm just saying the passport is across the country. It's $125. But if you look at how much it costs you to actually become a legal citizen, you're spending tens of thousands of dollars at times.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think that's right?
No,
it's absolutely not right. And I'll tell you what, once again, if you look at – and who's doing that? Is it the American, typical American citizen who's charging these outlandish rates to have people come into the country and get that better life they deserve? No, it's the U.S. government that puts those stipulations on these hardworking people looking for a better life. It's not me. It's not you. It's them.
And that's why they are working hard. And that's why they were trying to work hard to change the system. It makes everyone who is not born here should come here, should go through certain steps to become a citizen. Just don't come here and say, yeah, I'm going to come here. But it makes no sense that the laws and the hoops and whatever they have to go through, wait 10 years, pay thousands upon thousands of dollars. It makes no sense for that.
But Diva, that's not what they're doing. They're not slow. You got to realize they're not slowing the process. They're not working this out to where people can come in on an easy path. They're not doing
Hello?
That. What they're doing is they're creating a platform for registry for political reasons for elections, not because they care.
I don't care why they do it as long as it gets done.
I know, and you can't.
I mean,
you cannot. No, you got to look.
He had their reasons.
We need to quit being pimped by our pimps. We need to cut that out. Listen, we need to quit. South Carolina, hold on. Go ahead, Philadelphia. But we need to really quit allowing the American public, American government, and our politicians pimping people because they are like they're prostitutes. Because all they're doing is waiting for the next lay. And that's a bad deal. Go ahead, Philadelphia. I'll pick you up next, South Carolina.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment what the other caller said about the Republican states and the high dropout rates you find in some of them, especially the ones in the South. The problem is a lot of those states, they cater to big business. They don't use the state funds to put the funds back into the local school districts of those southern states, and that's the reason why you have such high dropout rates in those red states.
No, it isn't.
Wow.
No, it isn't.
Wow. That's the first time I ever heard something like that.
But Philadelphia, if your theory is true, then where are these big businesses going to find their trained employees to work for them?
They're getting them from outer space.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah,
he is absolutely wrong on that comment. I live in the state of South Carolina, and that's not the reason why you're having such a high dropout rate. It has a lot more to do with policies instead of dollars. But what I want to know is, in this immigration policy, I'm seeing a lot of this stuff talking about the southern border. What I want to know is, what about the Eastern Caribbean? What about places like Nigeria? What about places like, you know, East and West Africa? Are those people going to get the same treatment?
Absolutely. How about the Haitians that they sent back
exactly.
on boats? So, this is craziness.
This is being selective.
And Michael,
it's being
Mike
very,
was,
very selective.
Mike was totally incorrect when he said immigration is all about cheap labor. That is an aspect of how we started getting a lot more people here on immigration, but his error was this, is that immigration right now is about a political voting block. It has nothing to do with anything else. That's what they're doing, is they're trying to say who's going to be the first to allow the Mexican, Central American, and Mexican people, and South America, anything coming from south of the border.
You remember when John McCain said that we need to address immigration reform, and the Democrat
reform.
Yeah, and the Democrats jumped all over him for that.
Go ahead, Philadelphia.
Yeah, also, immigration is about putting workers back into the labor market because the birth rate has declined in the population, so therefore you have more people going into retirement. and they're not able to fund the different like types of entitlement programs because they don't have people who are paying into
Very
the
true.
System. They have, you know, they have a situation where they have more people drawing
on
those funds. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they
Very
have
correct.
To have immigration to bring more workers.
Legal immigration.
That's the whole thing. We need to bring them in at a time. You know that we're bringing a lot of Indians in here on Indians here on visas.
Pakistanis.
And, Pakistanis as well, because they're coming in as doctors. They're coming in as scientists, engineers, et cetera.
And drilling platform experts.
Because
right.
in the countries of India and China, they produce more people who are PhDs in different fields like science and engineering than they currently do in America, and they have a need in the IT field or the computer science field. They have a need for those people. They don't have enough people who are Americans who are graduates of those programs.
Well, of course that's why we're doing it. But the reason is it doesn't matter. The dynamic is not about just cheap labor. But it's going to turn out to be that, because you have to understand that these guys that are coming across here are getting on roofing crews, they're getting on a landscape crews, and they're coming out throughout the whole country. And
yeah.
they are working, and they are knocking out the businesses that are local roofing and other things, and they're doing faster.
Another aspect of this whole thing is you got foreign companies such as BP, British Petroleum, bringing over people to work on these platforms, these drilling platforms, that are not American citizens. And they don't have to follow American laws.
But this is this, well, they're not. They don't have diplomatic.
And also,
the other
aspect of it is that the work ethic among some of the Hispanics, namely the Mexicans, is much greater than it is. Certain groups, namely poor whites and African Americans.
But that's by
and
design,
that's
sweetie.
Why
that's
a lot of
design.
People who are in contracting would rather hire people who are
that'll work hard.
I'm out for people that'll work hard, but that's by design. And we have not learned how to embrace people who are going to work.
Well,
we haven't taught it.
There are two things every child inherently wants to do, and that's learn and work. You take any little kid and put them around their dad, and they're going to want
to
help daddy work.
But again, but you have
and
to,
we take that away from them.
Got,
we tell them go away, don't bother me.
But no, you get. But see, you that in your in rural America that might be true in suburban America, but in my area, daddy's gone. He been gone.
Well, not all daddies.
But a majority of them are.
Yeah, good.
When you got
72%
of African American children raised in single family homes, then that work ethic is now gone.
I understand what you're saying, Tracy. But not only are they're getting beat up there. You said yourself, they told you when you were in school you were stupid because you're black.
That's right.
So now we take these little kids who inherently are born with a wish to work and a wish to learn, and they step all over them.
But then you also have a place where in our society we don't even want our children to work because society does not give you opportunity to work.
Right.
You got to have a work program. You got to have a work permit to work on even a farm now.
And you can't hire a kid to wash windows off of a stepladder in the state of Ohio.
Alex, your mic is on. South Carolina, your mic is on. 330-614. I think that you, Matt.
I don't know what school you went to, Tracy, because. My teachers always try to make us do more than we have to do.
I went to a white school in 1970 when immigration was coming along. Immigration
was
coming in, and they had to stop that. And we don't understand. Huh?
We started at the same time, yeah.
And what happens
class,
is...
Class of 82.
Yeah, 83. And it was a mess. We walked through school. We walked to school all day long, and we saw black kids get on the bus and black kids get off the bus, but you didn't see black kids all day long until lunch. That was real.
What they do, divide you up in so many in each room.
One. They ain't no so many. I ain't lying.
How many rooms is the school you went to? That?
Quite a few.
My school didn't have that many rooms.
We had that many rooms, and we had one in a room. We never had two in a room.
Wow.
Never had
you
two
went,
in a room.
I mean, you went through something late because in the 80s, we didn't go through
as
stuff like that.
As a matter of fact, all the way up until 19 and up until high school, you'd be good. Even you had to schedule your class, you'd still be good to have two in a class.
Wow.
That's real. You didn't see black.
In your area.
Yeah. Mm. And there was no integration. I mean, you weren't like you were integrating into the system unless you were an athlete.
Well,
and what I'm saying is what's happening is they actually killed. They killed the spirit of competition.
We long, long, long entered into the day of inner city school being a daycare center. I think maybe the year after me was the last time that we even had a calculus in the school. 75. See, I was 75.
But in the suburban schools and rural schools, you still have calculus. You have trade.
Well, yeah. Like I said, right. In the inner city school.
But let me say this. Pushing forward for education, pushing forward for work ethic, making sure that right now when you heard Newt Gingrich talk about they need to have an after-work program where you can pick up your pick up trash and work with the custodian and get some stuff done and make some money. They're like, oh, no, they're trying to make you clean. But what else can you do at 13?
That's what 13-year-olds do. They pick up trash and
sweep
floors.
That laziness among kids is just an urban or black community problem. I'm sorry. I see the kids in my neighborhood, in my community. Oh, my gosh. These kids don't go outside, it is good majority, about 90% white. These kids don't go outside. These kids
totally
at 16 don't have jobs.
We're agreeing with you, Diva.
We agree with you.
But what we're saying is the society at large has taken poor whites and blacks for the most part, and they tell them you're stupid in school. They put them on medicine. And then they won't let them work.
This is not all. You have to understand, this is not all. We're not talking about in totality. But you also have to understand, it's no longer just a poor black and poor white issue. They have now moved in the suburban. All of them have an entitlement mentality. Our American system has been built on now entitlements. Even rich kids have an entitlement mentality.
They've taken
nobody works for anything.
They've taken calculus out of the eighth grade and moved it into junior high school.
As well.
They've moved it into high school. You might not get it there.
Yeah, because calculus is an elective course. You can elect to take that in high school.
Do you realize in the 1860s in the one-room schoolhouses, by and large, it was required in the sixth grade?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, look, I had a hard enough time with algebra. I can't imagine calculus.
And while I got you here, Diva, look up... Oh, I lost it.
Was that the assault weapon thing?
Warren versus District of Columbia. Just look that up, and that'll tell you that the police don't have to come. So
no,
Warren versus District of Columbia is the court case.
And we have to really be mindful that there are a lot of things that go on that the society has shaped. And so when we look at the laziness and we look at immigrants, people come here because America is so fat. And we are so lazy as Americans across the board, no matter what social, economic, demographic you come from. They come here hungry, and we sit back and play video games while they go to work and work all day long trying to make a better life for them because they don't want to go back to where they came from. We're already here, and we won't take advantage of it, nor do we teach our children to do so.
And sleep a family of 10 in a one-room apartment and think nothing about it while they're stashing money under the mattress.
And that's what our problem is. That's the American problem.
And the thing
is, we have the right to vote. We have the freedom to vote, and we won't pay attention to who we vote for.
And
we won't even exercise that right.
I remember when I was 16, we all had jobs. Me and my sisters, all my cousins, we all, by the time we were 15, we couldn't wait to get that work permit. 16, you got a job. Nowadays, my cousins' kids, I'm like, how come none of the kids have jobs? 16, 17, none of them have jobs. None of the kids in this neighbor have jobs. I'm like, what is going on? We worked. We love to work. It's because the parents are making these kids lazy because they buy them everything that they want and need.
And
they don't.
But also,
to do with whether they're poor or whether they're black. It depends on that parent and how that parent feels about their parenting style. They come from rough ends. They don't want their child to go through it, so they make up for it in the wrong way by overcompensating. And then they create lazy kids.
I was talking to business owners the other day, and they were saying that they have young people coming in to work for them, and they can't even count change back. I mean, do we understand that?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, is you have a problem with the skill level sometimes with people, especially when it comes to dealing with housing contractors. They like to keep people on their, you know, like over the 8 hours per day. They'll keep someone on the job a certain amount of time because they have a schedule to keep, and they have to complete the project during a certain time of the year. And if they have...
And if they have
people who are constantly taking breaks.
They can't count change at 16. Their parents need to be whooped.
Well,
because
you
cannot leave it up to the school system to educate your kids. It's a two-part system. The parent has to do it, and the school has to do it. You have to work together. You can't just depend on the school to do it, and the school can't just depend on the parent to do it unless they're homeschooling.
I've got some friends who teach. And they teach in the inner city, and they have parent-teacher conference. They got 80 kids. And they got 20 parents, maybe, that will come to parent-teacher conference. That ain't a teamwork. That ain't a partnership.
And I bet you those 20 kids are the top of the class, by and large.
Maybe.
I don't do parent-teacher conferences.
Hold on, Diva.
The way that they do them now, it's just too confusing. You get up there, you wait a whole hour. They don't even schedule time for it. You just get up there and sit, and first comes, first serve. So I don't do it.
Go ahead.
That's crazy.
And I would complain to the school board about it.
Yeah, but I'd be right there for my kid, and I'd be knowing.
Paula and I said,
is not going to happen.
Paula and I sit for an hour waiting on a teacher for teacher conferences more than once.
I'd do it again if
because if I have to wait.
Go ahead.
Because if I have to wait to see my child's teacher, that means she's spending time or he's spending time with another child's parent for that child too.
But that school district needs to make a better order so parents can get in and get out.
Yeah,
that don't make an appointment should wait. Yes, South Carolina.
First, of course, you all know that my wife teaches. At the beginning of the year, she had they have two or three parent teacher things every year at the beginning of the year. Nobody comes. However, the last nine weeks, every kid that she's been trying to get in contact with to get them to come in and have a conference with the teacher, miraculously, they start showing up. Why? Because the kid is failing, and they want to know what to do in order to help their kid get back on track. Well, at the fourth 9 weeks, there's nothing they can do.
I disagree with you, because they don't even show up in the last week. They show up in the last year, 12th grade, when they get a note saying their kid can't walk. They show up in the 11th grade when they can't go to the prom.
Yep.
They show up then. They don't show up on their way.
They go to the doggone walk-in, but they won't come to a parent-teacher conference. And to me, if you don't go to your kid's parent-teacher conference, you have no business at the walk-in. In fact, you better be happy that your kid got through, but they're going to push them through anyway to get them the heck out of there because they don't want their behinds in there not knowing nothing, being stupid in their class.
What is it, 80% of the kids that graduate New York City schools can't read?
Thank you.
That's a shame.
Now, what sense does that make? But they want to ban 64-ounce drink. Come on. You fools. These are foolish people.
I have to agree there.
I mean, yeah, and this is what they're doing, and I'm going to take my break in just a moment. But this is what we're doing. We are focusing in on the minors and not on the majors. And at the end, our children are losing, and so is our environment around us. So when we talk about immigration, when we talk about, voting rights, when we talk about who's voting for whom, when we talk about all these things we've talked about in the last 2.5 hours, it all comes to the sum total of we're not taking responsibility for our own environment. And they're trying to take our responsibility away from them because they don't believe that parents have the right to raise their own children. And I sat in a meet I sat in a meeting the other day with some people, and I will not call them out. But what they told me was parents don't know how to choose schools for their own children.
What?
I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
Wow.
Yeah, hello?
I just.
Tingly hand wash and wax.
Hello?
All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water on. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Tingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Tingly, it's not clean. Tingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, what's going on? Is that Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Hey, Phil, what's going on?
What's up? The host says the 10 to like put on mute the voices she doesn't want to hear. And so I guess I'm one of the voices she doesn't want to hear, so she keeps me on mute for like hours on end.
Yeah, I heard you come in a couple times. She just they talked over you there. I guess you're not being as forceful as you could be.
Well, you know,
where'd Diva go?
Yeah. Well, but every time I say something over them, the host will put my call on mute. So I guess I'm a voice that she doesn't want to listen to.
But you keep calling in.
Yeah.
So what you been up to, man? You happy spring's here or what?
Yeah, well, you know, I only call in occasionally. I happened to hear when you were talking about guns and gun control, and that's the reason why I called in, because I live in a city where, you know, the police department is debating about guns because guns are a real problem here.
Uh-huh.
That's the reason why I called in.
Well, what were you going to say? I mean, you're saying guns are the problem?
I basically made a comment about in urban areas like this one, the government has to put a ban on people who have high-capacity rifles who live inside the city because if a crime is committed with that type of gun, they have to make the sentence in such a way where it acts as a form of deterrent for someone who would even use the weapon, because they have such a problem with people using weapons of that caliber in crimes.
Well, here's the problem you're going to run into with that, Philadelphia. It's the same issue that you have right now with the powder cocaine and the rock cocaine situation. People that use rock cocaine or sell it have been given very, very harsh and punitive sentences for doing the same thing and selling the same amount as people doing powder selling powder cocaine. So there's a discrepancy. The only way you're gonna get around that is to ban all guns. You can't do that via the Constitution. My thing is, I think it needs to go towards more of a situation where there's honesty in what's really going on and what the agenda really is. The agenda has nothing to do their agenda is, has nothing to do with Sandy Hook, because if this is the case, well, you know, as I said earlier, they would have been up and up, or they would have been up in arms with what's going on out in Chicago. You take 20 dead kids in an elementary school versus 563 so far in Chicago.
Well, also, you have to look at Chicago in context. Chicago is a city that has had a gang problem that has been a part of its social fabric for over two generations now. And the people who were the leaders of the city never dealt with it properly. Now the situation is starting to explode because they're tearing down the housing projects where these gangs have their headquarters.
They dealt with it. They impose extreme gun laws there. They have the toughest gun laws in the country, but yet they have the highest murder rate.
But it's not just the gun laws, because they can get them from the state of Illinois and from gun shops outside of the city district in the state of Illinois and bring them back into the city.
Exactly.
Here's the problem you'll
get them anyway.
Yeah.
But here's the problem you run into.
Lines are still full. 518, your mic is on, and I'm going to pull you up in just a minute. Jeff and Sticks and I are here in the studio. It's been a great open mic today. A lot of people called in, a lot of people listening in, and I hope that you will be. The show is about getting people to think. It's not about conversion. I'm not saying you have to think like me. Just think, and I believe that if you think before you do, then if you think, you'll act differently. But we need to be cognizant and mindful that we are really not paying attention to what we do, and we are being shaped by our environment, our society, our images, our media images. And I don't know if you look in the mirror and like what you see, but when I look in the mirror, I may like what I see, but I don't like the surroundings that are around me and how they're trying to shape me to be something that I'm not. We are not lazy. And Americans meant something. And people across the country right now don't hold America in high esteem, not based upon our politics, just based upon how lazy Americans are. And people will come across the globe and tell you that they think Americans are lazy.
Hey, Rick, how you doing, darling?
Now, how you put you on hold?
You know that's rude, ain't it?
Yeah.
518, your mic is on.
Nobody want to talk.
Okay, Alex.
We got
it's on you. I see. South Carolina's on. I was trying to let somebody in. Hey, South, what were you guys talking about during the break?
Oh, we were talking about a little.
You're talking about the gun laws in
Chicago.
Chicago and what?
But Tracy, what I wanted to do is take it off in a different direction. Somebody sent me an email with a link in it. And I would put it up in the room, but I can't get in the room, stating that there is a move by a Muslim gay guy. He's going to go to the United Nations. There's a group of these guys, and they're going to go to the United Nations and try to, at the United Nations, force all religions to accept gays.
I heard Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. There ain't no gay Muslims, and especially not in Iran. He already said that.
No, I just want go ahead. Yeah,
this guy don't know what he is.
No. Go ahead, call me and let me know how that works out for him.
Well, in a lot of the Arab countries, the gays are suppressed, and especially in Iran, the gays are told that they stay there that they'll be executed.
Dude, you are so deep. Come up. I want somebody to go over there and tell me how that works out for them. Call me back and give me a report. Yeah, and I want to know how that's going to work out for them, because, you know, when you go over there switching and trying to convert some of them people, the Ramadan to become and to accept homosexuality, I want y'all to come back with a report and tell me what they said.
Because they remove your
Well, it's not going to happen over there, because those are states that are run by Islam. So therefore, they're going to go by what they see in their holy book. They're not going to allow any kind of homosexuality in those governments. But the difference we have a secular government. So we need a secular definition of marriage.
You missed
that's
it.
Not what he
you
said.
Missed it.
That's not what he said. You got to listen, dude.
I do listen, miss.
No, you don't.
I do listen to what your other callers say.
You did not listen to what he said.
And what I'm telling to him is that those governments are basically...
You do not listen.
Those governments are under the religion of Islam. So they
go on
by what's in the Quran.
And what do you think a Muslim does? You don't listen.
I'm listening to your callers, miss.
No, you ain't listening. Go ahead, stop.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. This is where it's going. They're saying colonialism is the sexuality because the big taboo in Britain, or any other religion.
Yeah. Now you got the cheap Bluetooth on.
Huh?
See there, you didn't mess up. You got that cheap Bluetooth on now.
And
you can't
breaking all up.
Nothing.
Tracy,
can I ask a quick question?
Go ahead, Matt.
Just a quick question. If you have a gay Muslim, and if they have to abide by Sharia law, do the gay guys have to wear burqas and the thing over their face?
No.
If they have to practice
the gay guys have to suppress who they are.
You know what?
Okay.
They don't cut their hands off, guys. You guys got to understand, gay Christians, there's no such thing.
No such thing.
Gay Muslims, you know, they can be what they want to be, but you
can't.
But
no such thing.
You will not be wearing, you won't be a transgender walking into a mosque and think you're just going to walk away with it. Y'all got to come up. You got to understand what the man said. That's just crazy.
Said they were going to go to the United Nations. Now, this guy bears his face in the United Nations, goes back to Saudi Arabia.
He's a dead man.
He's got, they'll sever his head from his body.
But let me ask him a question.
He'll probably be executed,
Let me ask you, when he goes, there's a guy who's a Democrat who is a congressman who's Islamic.
Right?
Yeah.
How does he vote on abortion?
Elijah Cummings.
Vote? Huh?
I think his name is Elijah Cummings, I believe.
No. Elijah Cummings is not a Muslim, is he?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Isn't he from Chicago?
No.
And we'll look it up. Hold on.
No.
I know what she's talking about. He took the oath on the Quran, I think.
That wasn't Elijah Cummings. Yo, Elijah Cummings is the one with the free riders.
Yeah, I think the guy's last name is Ellis. Keith Ellis.
That's right.
So
my question that I have is, when Mr. Ellis, he is a Muslim, how does he vote on abortion and same-sex marriage?
With the Democrats.
How does that happen, God? I'm confused by that because isn't that against what they believe?
Yeah, but how many Christians vote for the same thing when that's against what we believe?
That's different, ain't it?
Well, it shouldn't be. Your faith is your faith. If you're gonna claim you have a faith, then you should walk it out.
Even walk it out.
So that's what I was thinking, Jeff. I was
walking out.
I was walking, thinking about the Cupid Shuffle. So, I mean, seriously.
Look.
What?
This is not, first of all, the Muslims are never, ever going to comply to gay rights. That's why that was stupid what Hillary Clinton said last year. If you're going to get our foreign aid, then you're going to have to agree that homosexual rights are going to be legalized in your country, or else we're going to Listen, Hillary, get the waka flocka. And it's like, what makes you think? Now, these little mealy-mouthed, call-myself Christian people here in America are flip-flopping around not knowing what to do. No, that is not real Christianity, first of all, number one, and it is not Islam in any way.
Over in the Middle East, if you go, you don't see a man carrying a listen, Magic Johnson's son won't be walking down the street like that.
Well, I'm pulling this off my head, but didn't they remove foreign aid from Kenya because they were anti-abortion?
Yeah, no,
I don't know.
Uganda.
Okay.
Hold on. They're going to remove it from Uganda, but they ain't going to remove it from Egypt?
No, because Egypt
one got oil and one don't. One got the Suez Canal and one don't.
No, they must be allowed to abort people in Egypt, but they're not allowed to abort people in Uganda, and they got homosexuals. So.
But you, women, there's a whole bunch of nations that you ain't walking in there talking about homosexuality and be passing out checks.
Well, you see what happened in France. I mean, you've got a whole bunch of folks very, very upset because it looks like France is getting ready to pass the gay marriage.
They had a demonstration with over 100,000 people at it against gay marriage in France. I mean, that's amazing. Who'd have thunk it?
I got it. Bill just chimed in, and Bill said, you know, we really don't understand. He says, people of India and Pakistan see an education as an escape to their poverty.
Oh, absolutely. I got
it. Wow. That's an interesting concept.
This gene that I went to school with, his family was the only black family in school, whole school district.
Go ahead.
But anyways, he's got a daughter that's living in India, and I was talking to her on Facebook, and she says that the people over there, no matter what your economic status is, work their tails off.
You don't have to. Listen, I
have. And they ain't no sitting down.
I have friends who are from Puerto Rico. You got to understand, when you get laid off, you're laid off. There is no
unemployment.
When you get fired, you're broke. If you don't have it saved, you're hit. There is no social services. We going to go feed you, send you a check in the mail with an EMT card. I don't think we understand that.
Let me chime this one in, too. These countries, these people that are trying to get in here, these immigrants that are trying to get in here for the better life, in their country, there's no such thing as a union that they could go to, scream and cry about their wages and their earnings and actually have something done about it. There's no such thing. That's another big reason why they tend to be harder workers and take things more seriously than Americans do, when they can just be crybabies, go to their unions and say, I demand more pay, I demand more benefits, and whatever. Right out here in Strongsville, as a matter of fact, we still have the teacher strike going on, which is ridiculous.
Are you serious? Miraculous.
Oh, yeah, it's still going on. Miraculously, the school board just found $3-4 million out of nowhere, and now that looks like that's going to be what settles the issue now. They're going to be able to pay these teachers what they want. But it's incredible what America has done to itself. And, most people outside – America's not what it used to be. There's very few hardworking people anymore. And all these reasons are why.
We don't want you to work hard. Do we not – we don't want you to work hard. We don't want you to work hard. Because if you work hard, you make – what?
And I tell you what, you better go ahead and plant your garden, too, if you know what I'm talking about.
We don't want hard work.
Garden.
Listen, Sticks got me up here messed up. Don't be talking about gardens. Sticks got me.
I need to do that.
Sticks
myself.
Got me. Not, I'm going to go build a garden out of Sticks' yard.
We got her putting in raised beds, and buying seeds.
You know,
oh, really? Cannon jar, pressure cookers.
Dehydrators, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah,
that's just crazy. I'm trying to make you know, cabinet room and stuff for to buy hydrators and can and box and stuff.
Next thing you know, we'll have you cutting up deer meat.
No, you won't have me cutting up no deer. I don't do live carcasses.
That's a dead carcass. You're not gonna.
Yeah, you're not gonna cut no live carcass.
That would be a good YouTube video, though.
You ain't lying.
Listen, I love you guys. Tomorrow, Jeff is going to start the show, right, Jeff?
I think so.
What you going to talk about?
Mike, my caller from today. I'm going to talk about him personally. No.
Don't forget to go out and visit Barb Dole's.
Did you vote early?
You know what? I got to tell you what. I went to the Board of Elections, got my license in my hand, walked in there, held a conversation, ran out of time, walked back out, didn't vote.
This ain't Chicago. We don't vote early and often here.
Oh, I vote early, though.
Okay, just not often.
Not often. And as a matter of fact, in Youngstown, as a Republican, you know, it's voting season.
You need all the help you can get?
No. Right now, please, if you are a Republican, and here in the Mahoning Valley, this is a public service announcement. If you're a Republican and you are voting here in the Mahoning Valley, please go and vote. I know we do not have candidates to vote for on the ballot, but there is an issue in the city of Youngstown that you really need to go and vote against.
That's right.
In the city of Youngstown, they have a charter amendment on there that is really bad legislation. We need you to go out and vote no. Those of you who are Democrat who are going to go and vote, you will hear the vote no on issue two. You do not want the charter amendment. I don't care how much clean water they tell you you're going to have, how much free and liberty. It is a bad piece of legislation, and it will stunt the growth of the Mahoning Valley and Youngstown. So please, please, go research it. Don't just take my word for it, but just say no.
Just say no.
Just say no.
Nancy.
Nancy who?
Nancy Reagan.
Nancy Reagan.
Was that Nancy?
That's
Reagan?
Why Ronnie was always in a bad mood, because Nancy always just said no.
No. You know what? Y'all wrong. Tomorrow, let me.
Nancy.
Jeez, old man. Jerome Corsi is going to be our guest, and he is the author of a book, and we're going to talk about. He's coming on at 1:30 tomorrow, and it's called the ACLU's Relentless Campaign to Erase Faith from the Public Square.
Oh, yeah.
And so Jerome Corsi will be with us at 1:30, and we want you to call in, listen in. I have a problem with the ACLU. We have a municipality here where they are they open up their daily or their meetings with prayer. And because they've used Christians to open up the meeting, they actually sometimes say Jesus' name. And they are suing this municipality because they say that they are invoking a personal faith inside of it. They use the churches in their community, and all the churches in their community are Christian churches. And so they're upset because they don't want them to say the name of Jesus inside the public square.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, and then also the school that was the school that had the picture of a image of what they called Jesus Christ, they had them take it down, which was close by here.
After 30-something years.
Because the school district could not afford to fight the ACLU. I've got problems with this. I've got issues with this. And so we're going to talk about this on tomorrow. And those of you who think the ACLU is your friend, let me tell you this. They are pimping you also.
I'm going to start bringing a pastor in every day we do the show.
You might as well, because I'm going to say Jesus' name until I die.
Amen.
It's just that simple, and if you don't like it, then turn it. You know,
Amen.
But that's who I believe, who invokes all power, and we're going to keep it there. Anybody got any objections?
Mm-mm.
Hearing none? I'm learning Robert's Rules of Order also. Write this number down, 347-945-5229. Michelle Mallon is going to be...
Malkin.
Malkin. I keep on saying Mallon, don't I? Michelle Malkin. She is going to be in Salem, at the Salem Community Center.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. On this upcoming Friday, tickets are $50, $60 per person, $50, $100 per couple. And you can... Let me go back.
What's on the menu?
I don't know.
They didn't post a menu?
Hey, you can't get on the show?
I probably could. Did I do that?
Yeah.
Okay, I can work on it.
I really like Michelle Malkin.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, Alex.
You know, this might be something Jeff wants to talk about even tomorrow, too, but I just read something real stupid that Republicans just did, and which is why they lose all credibility in the eyes of American people. You know, North Carolina, it seemed like North Carolina House just passed a bill or a law, whatever, requiring people who get food stamps to have a mandatory background check, but they don't want people to get guns to have mandatory background checks. It's stuff like this that makes, you know, it just makes Republicans look really bad and just inconsistent. I don't know. This is a really bad look. It's a really bad look.
Alex,
really?
I'm going to call you when I get off the air.
That was a bipartisan bill.
It was a bipartisan bill?
Yeah.
Then why Republicans get blamed for it?
Hey, that's the news media for you.
That was a bipartisan bill?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have been talking about that for some time now. They're talking about it in the state of South Carolina. You know?
So they're going to have background checks, or they're just going to have
drugs? What they're saying is the bill is there to ensure that convicted felons or people that have warrants are not getting food stamps and getting certain types of assistance because it's being not convicted felons. Those who have active warrants and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting the food stamps and stuff.
Well, now let me ask this. You know, if you're seeking after me and I'm trying to get a food card for my kids, just because I'm a bad person does not mean that my kids are going to starve because of my bad behavior.
That's where I'm not with it at.
Tracy, that's the way they're playing it. However, the thought is if that's what they're doing, they're not going to use that. They'll use those funds, you know, for that in that purpose anyway. They're gonna use it for some ill-gotten gains.
But see, this is my problem. We say that we want to solve a problem, but we create a problem to solve a problem to make more money for something else instead of really dealing with the problem at hand, which makes no sense at all.
What they ought to do is go after these merchants that are purchasing these food stamps illegally.
Oh man, that's big business.
20 cents on the dollar.
There's a guy on Facebook arguing with our old co-host about that.
What's that?
About how they're selling the EBT card
in
Florida. Well, they're selling the EBT card in Florida so they can buy drugs and buy, you know, stuff that they're not allowed to buy with the EBT card.
Well, heck, I could have told them that, didn't I?
No. Liberals don't believe that. They believe that that's a lie. Oh. You have to understand that.
You know what they smoke and crack. We'll be here tomorrow. God bless you guys. Have a good day. The number is 347-9529. We'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Even the good of all mankind.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. The Supreme Court is grappling with the idea of companies getting patents for genes found inside the human body. More from ABC's Vic Ratner.
With billions of dollars at stake and possible cures for major diseases, the justices heard arguments on balancing the needs of scientific research with drug company patent rights. Human genes have been patented for years, but the Supreme Court case will decide if genes found in the human body can be patented and under what rules.
They're being asked to overturn the patents one company has on two genes linked to increased risk of breast and ovarian cancer. As North Koreans celebrate the birthday of the nation's founder, Kim Il-sung, the world continues to wait for a possible missile launch. State Department spokesman Patrick Ventrell says the U.S. remains on alert.
They could still do this test, and we continue to urge them not to do that. We think it's a provocative action.
Yes, there are lines at post offices across the country today. Not everybody e-files their tax returns. ABC's Patrick Johnson in Raleigh.
The line at the post office spread to the door, many appearing to be cutting it close, waiting until the last minute. And then there's Pam. She didn't procrastinate. When did you do them?
A couple weeks ago.
So you're not running around frantic today like...
No.
And then there's Dot Wagner, who's having to wait to the last minute because, well, her tax preparer waits to the last minute.
He has his own schedule, so he does them when he wants to.
Patrick Johnson, ABC News, Raleigh, North Carolina.
As if the invasive Burmese pythons weren't bad enough, a giant snail invasion has hit South Florida. Giant African land snails, rat-sized snails that feed on stucco and carry a parasite that can cause a form of meningitis. Denise Fiber with the State Agriculture Department.
It can give you flu-like symptoms, headache, stiff neck,